Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the bad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. Is there ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Woohoo! All right, so I was going to take a bunch of notes, but I kind of got busy because I got a lot to say, so I'm just going to play this by ear and make it up as I go. Anyway, let me read something real quick right here. Transhumanism, according to, I'd say, Wikipedia there. Transhumanism is an international philosophical movement that advocates for the transformation of the human condition by developing and making widely available sophisticated technologies to greatly enhance human intellect and psychology. Yeah, they think, or they say that they're going to become gods. We'll get into that later, but yeah. So, anyway, and symbolism. Symbolism was a late 19th century art movement of French, Russian, and Belgian origin in poetry and other arts. In literature, the style originates with the 1857 publication of Charles Baudelaire's, I can't even pronounce it, Les Fleurs de whatever. The peace sign, man. All right, so let me see here. Truth is a lie, burn the books, question mark. All right, so the Knights of the Round Table's live. If you want to listen in or join in or whatever, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. That's like a rough start. That's why I should have made my notes before I started in, because it might get a little bit crazy now. But as I go, maybe I'll drop a note, because I got like 10 billion things to say and probably less time to say it. Anyway, if you want to join in on chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. And if you scroll down underneath that, there's yet even more places to go. Jump over there to the People for People Radio Network, and also go visit Wolf Spirit Radio and tell them old Crazy Hair Shaziz and Barbara sent you over there to say hi and all that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of links and information on ShazizRadio.com available for you to look in. And so we're getting ready to get a little bit rowdy, talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. That's what we do here, right, Barbara? Say hi.
There. Well, good morning out there. Good morning to the world from Turtle Island. Here we are. Good morning, everyone. Shaziz, I said to you, welcome to the wacky world, wackier, wacky doodles, and we're wacky doodles, and the world is wackier.
I know, man. It just keeps on getting more wild by the minute. But anyway,
yeah,
I said something kind of like, so like reaches out and grabs you, you know. Truth is a lie, you know. That's kind of dramatic, right there. And then go out and burn the books, you know. There have been
times. Peace is war.
Yeah.
Today, peace is, well, it's been that way, kind of like historically, you know, in order to you know, bring democracy and to the world and peace, we have to go to war. I mean, that's pretty crazy. But everybody was okay with that.
Well, it's like, we're kind of like living in an upside down world. I just, everything's backwards, or like that one guy, Ed, says on his show all the time, mirror world. We live in mirror world. Anyway, you know, they're, and I don't want to get into a history of, you know, what was what, you know. So there's people out there that say the Holocaust didn't happen as written in books. That's not what this conversation's about. I did post a video in the chat room about Nazi book burnings, because I'll basically, some of the things that they've actually said in there are not, I think I'm gonna go ahead and play that podcast, Barbara. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it. But there's some things in there that was said that's really important. And first off, if the elitists of the world want to become gods, you know, think about this for a second. You know, if your email can be hacked, what makes you think your brain couldn't be hacked? What makes you think that your car that you're driving with all that digital technology couldn't be hacked? And basically, if somebody has the power to make you a god, would that not make them more powerful than you, because they would also have the power to take away your godship if you didn't follow the rules or whatever? Maybe you thought you was like a super, god or whatever, and you got all these really cool programs running in your brain, and you got all these superpowers, superhuman powers, and you can run around pushing people around and doing whatever you want. Let me ask you a question. How many of you out there listening in to me right here, right now, want me to choose for you what is the truth and what is not the truth, what book you can read and what book you cannot read? How many of you want me having access to all your personal information on your YouTubes, your Twitters, your Facebooks, your email and all that kind of stuff? How many of you people out there want me to have that kind of power where essentially I'm like God over you? I can sit here and just at a moment's notice, I can pull up your email and see what you've been up to in my brain. You know, I can do that because now I'm the digital god of the world and stuff. So how many people of you want to trust me with that kind of power? I'm just going to ask that question, because imagine if I'm not the only one with that kind of power. Maybe Barbara's got it too. Maybe everybody who you don't like has it. Maybe you got it. So what kind of world do you start to live in from that point on? Where is that fine line between what it is that we call ourselves to be human and what the machine, when those two merge together, when is the point when you are no longer human? And if you're no longer human, then that means you don't have to be on the human side of the team. You got your little human flag and you're waving it, you know, and the AIs and the digital guys, they got their little flag, and somehow or another there's a group of us that merge in together, and we thought we're going to make the world a better place, but we're going to decide from this point on what is truth and what is a lie. So
I just want, before you do that, here's a, for instance, you know, this, to not to sound like you know, we are politically incorrect if we are speaking about people's choices or determinations. You know, this is a key piece to talk about, because, you know, today politically incorrect or politically correct is a huge push either way, which means what your personal perspectives are, and if you see something, say something, but if you see something that is shocking and is harmful and so on, and it happens to be being done by certain persons or peoples or a system, you know, you will be attacked. But here's, so transhumanism, or humanists, basically, it's a, to know what it is, it literally means beyond human. Transhumanists consists of life extensionists, techno-optimists, singularitarians, biohackers, robotists. It's basically people are afraid. You're afraid of dying. So anything that will extend your life, I'll go for it. Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, they want to live forever, and I was born a human. I want to die a human for real. I don't want to be part robot or anything like that, and I don't think I want to live forever, because this life right here, you know, as lengthy as it was or short as it might appear or whatever, you know, it was a rough road this long. And to sit back and watch as generation after generation grow up and die, grow up and die, grow up and die, you know how much aggravation that would be, torment to the human heart, you know, that you're going to live forever and you're going to watch everybody else come and go all the time. That would get depressing after a while.
Well, you have these scientists, you see, you know, I have my issue with scientists. I mean, sometimes scientists are a good thing in a way. You know, we, for instance, just talking about the secret life of plants, and I'm just going to do a short piece here about what I'm saying. Sometimes scientific studies are helpful, because, I don't know, since forever there are certain persons, peoples, and even cultures that have known that plants are sentient, that they have a sensitivity, that they react, and respond and so on. And so studies had been done on that over periods of time, but just knowing it, or I guess you could say having an experience with this, is a fact. And so there are some cultures, like our Indian indigenous nations, pretty much throughout the world, have had these profound experiences because they haven't been brainwashed then. There was no way to brainwash them. You know, there was no technology at all. There was no organized religion. So they were basically in nature and involved and in relationship. And when you have these experiences over and over and over again throughout your culture, you come to a conclusion that these plants and trees and nature responds and has a conscious connectedness, okay?
Well, I believe that, too. That's when you mentioned earlier about how the science will basically try to tell you that plants are like just a collection of cells and they don't have nothing. But then again, they'll go all the way back through the whole entire Darwin's evolution thing and try to say that we came from a single cell. So if we had a consciousness back then, as a single cell, why wouldn't one single plant might be a whole community of consciousness? I know that sounds crazy, but...
Yeah, well, just let me make my point about the scientists, because this is a key piece. This whole thing about, creation, the scientist's perspective, and so on, and that there is no intelligence, okay? They are the intelligence. And basically, they have all the answers, and your experience with a plant or whatever, or a tree or an animal, whatever it is that ancient cultures had that helped them to conclude what they have basically concluded about the sentience in nature. So then over periods of time, as technologies and science started to grow, these scientists had done studies, but it was all really pretty much covered up because it was kind of proven, and it's been proven today through science, that plants are sentient. They do respond. They have, I guess you could call it an emotion, because they get terrified if you're going to go cut them down with a buzzsaw, or they've done tests on this and to prove the reactions on various meters that they use and hook up all this kind of stuff to the plants so that they see the plants react. If you're cruel to it, if you have an intention, even if you have a thought that you're going to burn the leaves on that plant with a match, that the plants go berserk on the meters. So to me, okay, that was a good thing because that kind of helped people to realize, wow, plants have some kind of sentience, consciousness. And then you have the water experiment. So we've always known that water is life, Miniwichoni, and water has a response, and that you can actually, through certain ceremony and words, activate the original instructions or the original harmony and balance of molecular structure of that water if it's polluted. Now, studies have been done scientifically to prove that. Okay, you don't see this in the mainstream media. You will not see any of this pretty much, so the majority of the population has no clue what I'm talking about. So the scientists in some way are good, but you don't see this in the mainstream media. This is not a taught in history, but this is not in your school. You will never be taught these things. These are all hidden, but the scientists do come through in some ways I'm talking about. Now this... Here, what we're talking about, transhumanism, okay? Basically, these scientists believe that technology is the path to eternal life. Now, this is a deceptive theory, and it's a false hope, basically, what they're doing. You know, it's a big transition phase of the evolutionary process, so they're messing with things, they're messing with creation, and if you believe in God, they're messing with the plan of God, I guess you could say. I just wanted to add that, you know, just before we get into your video there, you know.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel a little better because I actually talk to plants all the time. I tell them I love them. And, yo, you're looking really good. I'm talking to my apple trees and my peach trees and cherry trees and telling them I love them and wanting them to grow real good. And they seem to respond. So.
Well, they do respond. And actually, you and I could talk about this till we're blue in the face. But if you have scientists actually doing these systematic studies proving that, that's why I say, okay, so the scientists, some scientists, scientific studies are really important, and they do show us what you're talking about is very real. Words are power. Words have, you know, a powerful frequency, and this we're learning more and more about how we have something. Creator gave every human being a power to create and manifest, either positively or negatively. So, talking about the theory, Darwin's theory of evolution, theory, that's all.
Yeah.
It's just a theory, but everybody glommed onto it. Well, there's history about that, too, that would kind of like...
Even Darwin said he had doubts about certain things he said.
Well, listen, Muhammad said he was, he believed he was possessed by something evil. But everybody believes him. Everybody believed Darwin, but you know, I did some study on the Zionist Elders Protocol plan, and they basically in this amazing research I did to find information on this, there is a written in this plan that basically involved Marxists and Darwin and how these theories, so-called theories, were put out to be truths, which is basically, that's, and they even noted that the people, well, the Goyim, that's who we are, the Goyim are the people believed this, and that was their plan, basically for people to believe that we are basically from monkeys.
Yeah.
And I kind of never believed that. I don't know about you.
No, I never bought it for a second. I said, I know I ain't no monkey. I wasn't coming with fish.
My grandma, my grandpa, way back. I'm sorry. They were just not monkeys. But the point I'm trying to make is that there was a plan. There is a plan. You want to call it an agenda. I don't care what you call it, but every aspect of our history, of the story that we were told, is pretty much a manipulated system, a manipulated lie, and our people fell for it throughout the whole, in the beginning, generations and generations, so that was set us on that path, somebody pulling the strings and controlling us for a very dark purpose, and here we find ourselves today.
Yep. Well, let's get into this. It's about a 10-minute deal. I hope you can hear it, because some of the things that are said in there are really important, because it's not just this one particular incident in history, because we could actually go through a long list of different cultures, even going back to the Library of Alexandria, supposedly about 1,000 years ago, where they burned a whole bunch of books back there, and this one particular video talks about the burning of the Library of Alexandria in ancient Egypt by Julius Caesar ranks among the worst crimes committed against basically people. You know, you just took a bunch of history of, whether it's right or wrong, folks, I'm not going to argue whether a book is right or wrong. That's not the point here. The point is that both good and bad, no matter what it is out there, that you know, we got to take the good with the bad. Unfortunately, that's what society's about, if we're all to be individuals and be able to seek our own truth and that kind of stuff. But either way, we'll get into all that. I just want to play this podcast because some of the things that were said in there, and I'm sure there's probably people out there that's going to disagree with some of the things that they say in there. That's fine. We can all agree to disagree. But the point, main point about the whole deal is whether or not you want... Let's, for example, what I mentioned earlier, would you trust me as God to decide what you can believe and what you can't believe, or what book is good or what book isn't good, what's right or wrong? Do you want me to have that kind of power over you, or do you want anybody for that matter, or even a group of people? So let's play this real quick. Hopefully don't bash me with a commercial. All right, here we go. Do-do-do-do. Any time now.
Books represent humanity as it at its best and its worst.
To burn books is simply a fundamental repression of ideas.
I mean, what can a book do? And why is it so dangerous that it needs to be physically annihilated?
Nazi book burning.
In 1933, the National Socialist German Workers' Party, called the Nazis for short, came to power in Germany and established a dictatorship under the leadership of Adolf Hitler. The Nazis intended to rearm Germany and to reorganize the German state on the principle that the German ethnic group or race was superior to all others in Europe. They suppressed all dissent within Germany, making it a crime to criticize the regime. The newly established Ministry of Propaganda and Enlightenment set up various chambers to control specific aspects of German culture, such as art, literature, theater, film, music, virtually all forms of entertainment and all forms of dissemination of news. In 1933, in April, Nazi German students decided to organize a nationwide book burning program to eliminate foreign influence, to purify German culture as they saw it.
So you have committees of students meeting with professors together, deciding what categories of books in these university libraries would count as un-German. They didn't see themselves as suppressing culture, they saw themselves as advancing Aryan German culture.
I remember very distinctly a conversation between my parents and some friends who were all shocked that a nation like the Germans, an educated, highly intelligent nation, would burn books. Books never hurt anybody.
The event that the students planned occurred on May 10th, 1933. In each German university city, 34 of them in all, thousands of people gathered together at a public place in which books that had been confiscated either by the students themselves or by Nazi party officials, often with the help of police, were brought and dumped in a pile. Student leaders exhorted their followers and the listening crowds to swear an oath by the fire to destroy and combat subversive and un-German literature.
For the national treason against our soldiers in World War I, we're burning Hemingway's books.
Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister himself, spoke at the book burning in Berlin.
It is amazing to me the variety of books that was burnt on that night and thereafter.
Among the authors whose books were burned were Ernest Hemingway, both Mann brothers, Thomas and Heinrich.
There's the German writer, Erich Maria Remarque, who wrote the famous book All Quiet on the Western Front.
Helen Keller.
Jack London, the American nature writer. There's very little that unites all of these books, really, except that they were all considered dangerous by the Nazis.
A grand total of the number of volumes, perhaps best estimates, would be between 80 or 90,000 volumes. For weeks afterwards, books were confiscated from libraries, from bookshops, and from private collections. In 1939, the Nazi regime initiated what became the Second World War. During the course of this war, the Nazis began to implement their population policy, a priority element of which was the annihilation of 6 million Jews on the European continent in a mass murder, a genocide that we now call the Holocaust.
I was about 11 when I read The Diary of Anne Frank, and it was translated into Persian. reading about Anne Frank and millions of other Iranians reading Anne Frank, they discover that they are that little girl and that what happened to that little girl was a supreme act of injustice. And so they connect to her in a way that no political sermon or propaganda could effect. The first thing every totalitarian regime does, along with confiscation and mutilation of reality, is confiscation of history and confiscation of culture. I think they all happen almost simultaneously. They surely happened in my experience when I was living in Iran. For me, it's both heartbreaking and quote-unquote a sort of badge of honor that my book is not allowed to be published in Iran. It has been translated into 35 languages and not in Persian.
Really, all literature is dangerous to a regime that fears the free flow of ideas, because the literature in its most fundamental way is meant to forge connections among human beings.
Because you don't know where it takes you. Knowledge is always unpredictable. There is always a risk. It is like Alice jumping down that hole, running after that white rabbit, not knowing where she goes. And for tyrants, control is the main thing. They don't like this unpredictability. They don't want the citizens to connect to the unknown parts of themselves, of their past, and to connect to the world.
So for a totalitarian regime, this is perhaps the most dangerous thing, because these regimes are predicated on the idea that the people within them will resign themselves to thinking that this is all there is and that there aren't any other options.
I think the shame is ours. Is everyone's. We all have to think that as human we share the best and the worst, and that as human beings what happened then can happen again.
How serious those warning signs were taken is exemplified by my mother, who, when I asked her if we had to worry about a guy like Hitler, she said no. We are living in a democracy, we have the protection of the police, nobody is going to hurt us, so talk about warning signs, there were plenty of them. Did we take them serious? My family didn't. Never believed that Germans would stoop so low that they would implement the threats which one fanatic uttered. And so our own life went from bad to worse, and culminated in July of 1942 when we were arrested and sent to a concentration camp. To make this clear, it was a life without hope.
The only thing that they cannot put in jail or prevent from physically leaving is your mind, is your imagination. That cannot be captured.
But the idea of freedom should be kept alive, even if it's between two people or three people. Talk about it, think about it, live about it, and hope about it.
So, yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff right there, I'd say. You know, the lady said that the only thing that can't be imprisoned is your mind. But you talk about this new deal to become transhumanist. How can you say that if your mind has a little chip in there, which you can suddenly be hacked, or even going into the conspiracy theory, or maybe potentially fact of mind control. It isn't like it's not something that's well documented in life, or basically somebody gives you a drug, they call it the truth serum or whatever, and you take this drug and you can't lie and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's probably because you're pretty stoned and you don't care what anybody thinks. You just flat out tell the truth. Nonetheless, this whole deal about the book burning and all that kind of stuff, we're kind of really, literally, quite literally seeing a modern day book burning. And what I mean by that, because if you go out there and you look at all the censorship that's going on the internet, if you don't agree with the other side, well, you know, now they got methods by which they can try to demonize you and literally kick you completely off the internet, pretty much. I mean, you know, some people say Alex Jones is planned opposition or whatever like that. Whatever, for whatever you think about it, it doesn't matter what you think about it. If I want to tune in to Alex Jones and listen to his craziness or whatever, you know, I can tell you one thing for sure. I have listened to Alex Jones, and a lot of stuff he was saying back in the 90s is already playing out now, just like he said it back then. But nonetheless, even if you disagree with him or agree with him, to say that Alex is one of the books that needs to be burnt, and so no longer you have any access to his information. You can't watch his videos on YouTube. You can't watch it on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. So he's excluded from the so-called democracy that we got, all right? Well, everybody's come together and said that Alex Jones is no longer welcome. But the question is, did everybody come together and say, yeah, kick Alex Jones off of there? No. In a true democracy, you know, the majority would rule, and so I would say the majority of the people did not say kick Alex Jones off of the internet, burn his book or whatever. You know, it's about, you know, the control of whoever's out there. You talk about, you know, having a democracy, and you got a leadership in that democracy. It's not really a democracy. Nonetheless, United States has never been a democracy, but we can get into that later. This is a representative republic where we send our representatives to go there to follow certain laws in the government, and the separation of powers between the executive, legislative, and judicial branch of government. And so that's our checks and balances, which leaves it to us to have the ultimate say by our vote to who goes up there or who doesn't. Anyway, so, you know, in modern day society, if somebody doesn't like what you say, if it's deemed to be offensive or it's deemed to be hate speech, just go back if you want to read a book before it gets burnt. Read George Orwell's 1984 and stuff like that. Read about thought crimes and, you know, how you could actually be charged in the future about things that you might have done that you haven't done yet, but their artificial intelligence has pretty much, did some calculations and say in the future you might be a criminal, and so suddenly before you commit that crime, you got to get arrested. Let me ask you this question again. Do you want a guy like me? You know, I call myself a Christian because I subscribe to what Christ's teaching was and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of people out there that don't like anything remotely related to Christianity. Yeah, no. Heck no, I wouldn't want you being in charge, because what if I decide that all you have to be Christians as well? And I don't give you a choice, because I got this power and I can do all these things. I can basically erase your book if you get out of line. Now, I don't want that. Even as a Christian, I don't want to force you into anything. I want to, if I'm going to say that this is my lifestyle and this is how I live my life, I'm going to lead my life by example. And then if you see something in my life that's worthy of adopting into your life, and you decide that you want to be a Christian too, that's great. You know, but for me to say that I'm right, you're wrong, everybody's wrong, and for me to choose the history, for me to choose the future path for everybody, that's not right. And when you talk about fairness and freedom and sovereignty and a person being able to, you know, be in charge of their own destiny, I don't own your life. All right? I don't want to own your life. I don't want to be God. I don't want to have the responsibility of whatever it means to be God. So what if my views are your only option? What if I say to you that you can't write certain things because it goes against what I believe? All right? Now this is what you see going on in society with different groups and organizations, and how, you know, just this thing with this judge here recently, Judge Kavanaugh, he was accused of something, pretty much tried and convicted by the mainstream media before any testimony was ever even given, before he even had a chance to defend himself. Now, that's completely, utterly against the Constitution. If you understand the Constitution and you read it, regardless of whether you like the Constitution or not, regardless of whether you like America or not, that's a just basic fairness. Imagine yourself being in a position where you're accused of something, and everyone out there can say whatever they feel like saying. Under the guise of free speech, they can say that you are guilty of a crime that you know personally that you did not commit. So your family and yourself and your friends are pretty much devastated by the fact that you've now been labeled as, the bad guy, when in fact you've had a completely different history. And if that was to be put out there on the table as far as evidence, the proof would share itself. The truth would tell itself. But this is an important thing to get across out there to everybody. You know, we sit there and we want a different world. We want different things. We want people to have freedom. We want people to be able to choose what they want. But we're coming down a path right now to where when you're talking about something like a book burning, and a modern day book burning, when it comes down to digital cyberspace and who gets to decide what information is available, what information is not available. If I wrote the entire history of the world, I could delete everything bad that's ever happened to you or your culture. I could say this never even occurred. And you, from that point, you knowing the past from the information that was handed to you from your elders and their elders and so on down the line, every bit of information that was handed on down from generation to generation would be the information that you would then in turn have to try to figure out a way to pass on to the future generation so that your culture is not lost and your past is not rewritten. But if I'm not going to allow you to speak it, and I'm not going to allow you to write it, then that story stops when you're gone. Now you imagine your children who grow up in my world with my version of the world was wonderful. We never had a bad thing that ever happened, and you have to believe exactly like I do, or you're going to have this consequence, or we're going to delete your book. Think about that. Seriously, think about that. Do you want anybody in this world to have that kind of power over not just yourself, not just your destiny and your life and your freedom and all that, but over your culture's past? Do you want your culture's story to be told any way other than it was actually portrayed, any way that it was actually lived, the actual truth of the matter? So now, people will come out, they'll come out and they'll stand against the Bible. The Bible's a lie. It was written by man. This is a lie. Well, that's a lie. Everything's a lie. And this isn't how it all played out. Well, here's the problem, folks. There's so many books in this world, minus the ones that were burnt in all the different cultures, such as, Alexandria, Germany, and, other places in history. I mean, there's so many different deals where communities came together and decided to pretty much delete the books because they weren't worthy of being read. Well, now, those are gone forever. And there's no getting it back. That history is gone. There's books that maybe had a personal story in it that somebody wanted to share with future generations. It's no longer there. Never existed. Is that the kind of world that you want to live in? Is that the kind of world that you want to leave for your children, to where truth is subject to the teller? And even if the book itself that is called the Bible is not a truth and it was written by a man and it's questionable, then all books in history are questionable because they too were written by man. So I would say that I want every book to be on the table. I want every book to be there so that anybody who wants to learn about anything can research and still have opportunity to choose and debate and show and present their findings to everybody. Is it gonna make peace in the world? I don't necessarily think so, but I don't also don't think that peace doesn't never come from the end of the barrel of a gun, and peace doesn't never come from somebody having the power over you to say what you can say or what you cannot say, or what you can believe or not believe, and what the truth of your heritage is. So truth is subject to the honesty of the teller, and it's up to you, the individual, to be able to discern from that information presented to you. But if you're only getting one side of the story, folks, how can you discern the truth if all you're getting is one truth? One truth from any given group or entity or individual. One truth is all you get. And in my world, where I'm God, you only get my truth. Do you trust me enough? Considering the fact that I put a label on myself and called myself a Christian, and I know there's a lot of people out there despise Christianity because they don't understand the true Christian. They don't understand the true meaning of what it means when I say that I'm a Christian. But nonetheless, putting all that aside, no matter what, whether I believed or disbelieved or anything like that, even if I was a hardcore atheist, scientist, evolutionist, and I said that we were all, you know, little microscopic organisms with a consciousness that kind of worked our way up to fish and then monkeys and then finally to man, and here we are having this conversation today, do you trust my journey? Do you trust my truth enough for me to be in charge of your future and your destiny? That's the big question to propose to you here today. Hi, Barbara. How's it going?
Hey, there Shiz is. I'm back. Well, while you're going on there talking and doing your thing, excuse me, lots of things are running through my mind.
Did I hit any key points?
What?
Did I hit any key points in your mind? Or like what?
Oh, you hit a lot of key points.
You hit the nail on the head earlier.
I did. I'm going to say it in a second. You know, I feel, first of all, you and I, what are we doing here? And what are the listeners doing out there? I hope everybody sticks with us. Of course, that's their right. Again, it's all of our, we are given rights to be present or to zone out or to delete. We are given these rights. It is our right. I'm hoping people stick to the show here and listen. If something later on, if you don't feel connected or maybe you're adverse to something here, I always say we will never find the truth if we delete people and walk away and close our ears and so on and our hearts down. We'll never find the truth that way because we keep deleting people who we disagree with basically and don't listen to the whole story. And I want to talk about this recent issue here that is in our face today about the Ford Kavanaugh circumstance. But I just want to say that to the people listening to us, what are we doing right now? We basically are, expressing ourselves, freedom of speech. We have that right to speak. I want to say that. You know, what you pointed out was we all have this right, and this is not about pushing religion on anybody. It's not about pushing our political beliefs on anyone. It's not about telling you have to believe us. This is about our freedom of expression. That's all. We have a freedom of expression in this country according to our Constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of due process, and so on. The rights to due process in any accusation is part of our Constitution. So I'm just saying that what we're talking about here, I hope you stick with us because there may be gems in what we're going to be talking about today. There may be things that might put you off, or there may be things that will cause a reaction of a reactionary experience where you just say, this is ridiculous, or, oh, they're talking religion, oh, they're talking politics. This is not what this is really fully about. It's about we are seeking truths and exploring both sides of a story, the story of our lives. Today, there is a controlling factor, and there has always been a controlling factor that is writing our history as we are speaking today. And that has been going on from the beginning. Okay, critical thinking is out the window. Okay, critical thinking is gone. So here's what I wrote down. I wrote that what you were talking about sounds like Twitter and Facebook and Google today with their censorship.
Yep.
Which is basically, it's a group of people deciding what you can say, what you can post, or even believe in. And so now in regards to the book burning out there in during the Nazi time in Germany, and this is nothing new, you know, like you talked about, the books have been being burned for millennia here, but the sheep listened, and the sheep brought all their books to the square, and they swore to destroy literature.
Yeah, some of them were stolen.
Because someone said so.
Yeah, some of them were confiscated. They didn't. The person didn't have a choice. They had to give it up, and it was taken from them.
Who are those people? This is the point we're trying to make. Who are the people that have determined to write our history, to censor us, to shut us up, to use the duct tape where you can't, you're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to defend yourself. You're not allowed to give your own perspective through your own critical thinking. Even if you're not critical thinking, a thinker, you still have a right. So today the deep state is pushing us into divisiveness, deliberately fanning and banning hate and people's right to free speech.
Yep.
And by the way, okay, history does repeat itself. And by the way, now today, the Holocaust is now a lie. It didn't even happen. So, moving on here, okay.
Well, somebody has to go tell my grandfather that, because he went to Germany and literally took battle wounds trying to save and rescue the individuals that didn't get attacked back in the day. So somebody had changed history and lied to my grandfather to the extent that he actually went out there and he physically watched as two of his best friends right beside him were killed just right before he was blown literally out of a foxhole. And he actually had scars all the way from the heels of his feet all the way up to the back of his neck. So under the guise of a lie, now that history's been changed, my grandfather suffered that terrible atrocity and was traumatized for the rest of his entire life because somebody said that there was people over there suffering and that we had to do our patriotic duty and go save those people. My grandfather stepped forward. So now that history's been changed, and what's that say? Did my grandpa do all that for nothing? You see what I'm saying? That's frustrating.
Well, in reference to the Holocaust, I mean, I have met people personally who have the numbers tattooed on their arms. I mean, and these were people in their 70s and 80s who had been in those camps. And I heard their stories now. You know, even if, they're basically, there's the big discussion. I don't know the numbers, okay? So it's the numbers. So you have people arguing over, not only did the Holocaust not happen, but the millions or 9 million, I don't know how many the argument is about. There's a particular number, which I don't think is accurate, even though, how can you determine the accuracy of how many people were you know, harmed, murdered,
even if
taken?
It was only one. Even if it was only
one. Well, that's
one.
What I'm going to say. It does not matter to me the numbers. You can argue the numbers till you're blue in the face. The people in the room that I sat with those tattoos on their arms, embedded in their arms for their whole life, because they were in concentration camps, and they talked about the people that died. They talked about the people that, you know, went into these gas chambers. They talked about the people they saw lined up and murdered and fell into a hole. They talked about this, and so let's say it was 10 people. I don't care how many people it was. What happened to those people never should have happened. Somebody murdered those people. Somebody violated those people because of their ethnicity. Yep. So this is what we're talking about. You can anybody can find an argument about anything and disagree, like they just disagree about the Bible. You know, I don't particularly follow the Bible. My beliefs are spiritual, that I believe in an omniscience creator, an awesome something happened here, folks, a long time ago. And you can argue, you know, the where did man come from? Well, they came from a turtle in the a turtle in the pond, or a polywog, or an amoeba, or some monkeys. You can argue till you're blue in the face about this stuff. But one thing I think that you have to be wise about, and is to know. And you know what? It's not an ignorant assessment. It's real to know there are people who want to have the control, who want to tell you their lie or whatever it is, their story, and control you. They want to give you this information. They want to lead you. There are people, I mean, even your neighbors could come to your garden and say, you know, you're doing everything wrong. Here's the way you have to do it. This is like a human nature, I guess you'd say. Because critical thinking is down the tubes, out the window. And why is that? We have to look at that piece where you can't even determine what is real, what is false, what is true, what is a lie, and what is peace, and what is war, what is freedom. I mean, the confusion reigns here, folks. And people are spinning and spinning and spinning, which is another deliberate thing, I feel, and the divisiveness unfolding more intensely in our lives today is an agenda, because really, logically, you have to know there are people who are kind of warped out there. There are people who have agendas. There are people who have their perspectives, and they believe it so strongly that they want you to believe it too, and they will do everything in their power. So you must have critical thinking today. We really need that. We really need to determine truth from lies, light from dark.
That's right. Everybody out there, pick 10 people that you love, that are in your circle, that you want this kind of scenario to play out to, where they're censored or put into a jailhouse or whatever.
Well, people right off the bat say, no, they wouldn't do that. No. Well, you know, this is going to be, I think if you're not a... You have no reality concept in yourself. Again, I'm going to call it critical thinking. If you can outright say, no, there are not evil people in the world. No, those people wouldn't do that. No, that person wouldn't do that, because I voted for that person because I determined that person was speaking the truth. And no, so I believe that person, you know. So if you tell them something opposite about that person, if you have found out something about that person, or in fact they are displaying some behavior that is questionable, the person who voted, I'm just using this as an analogy because this political nonsense that we're dealing with today, it's right in our face. If you have voted for a person, you've banked everything about yourself upon that person and the choice you made. So now if somebody comes along and said, well, do you know that the one you voted for, I found this information about this person, here's another perspective. What happens to you, the person who banked everything on voting for that person? Or wanting to, so we could use an analogy another way, about taking my child to a Boy Scout troop, or taking my child to a gymnastics class, or taking my child to church.
There's a story out there about George Soros basically being of the same culture as the people that he actually went out there and physically did things against. And I'm looking it up right now, but sorry to cut you off, but I want to bring that up too.
Well, listen, I want to get into this present circumstance. There are so many present circumstances that we need to do some critical thinking about today. And because it is a matter of history, our history, and it's also a matter of pretty much, I'd say, life and death. Because everything really banks upon our determinations, our critical thinking, our decisions, our beliefs, and so on. Now, this is personal. I'm talking about each person, each human being having the right to determine their journey in life or you know, things for themselves and their families. Of course, everyone has, you know, you have to not rule and control. You have to guide your children, right? It's not ruling and controlling them through the system that you've been ruled and controlled by. But that's where we are today. I want to talk about this, the recent Senate and House, I'm going to say interrogation on some level. Or we could say, I guess, we should say investigation, but it wasn't an investigation. It turns out it really was a hang the accused. You know, we have something in this country called a constitution, which is involving in that constitution is free speech, as we're talking about, but also the right for every human being in this country to due process. It's called innocent before proven guilty, okay? So just because you're on trial doesn't mean that you're guilty. It has to be proven, proof, that you're guilty. So I have this, I watched the Senate and Congress and goings-on last few days about the accusation of Brett Kavanaugh, who's already a judge, who has a history in the government, working for the government, who has, and I'm going to say this first, this man has basically been vetted by the FBI numerous times in his life of being involved and working in the system of our government numerous times by the FBI in order to be in these positions. He has been vetted over and over and over and over again, okay, by the FBI. That's how our system works. If you're going to be a judge, if you're going to be on working with a president, all these things, you must be vetted by the FBI, which means a complete research, investigation upon this person's background, their history, their involvements, and so on, in order to be put in a position in our government in this system. So this man has gone through that numerous times. Now, he was also, he's the pick of President Donald Trump, okay, for the judiciary position, a high position, which would be a lifetime position, basically, And, you know, that's another thing we should probably talk about sometime, about that system, because I was thinking about that. You know, this lifetime position that our system has put up, like lifetime senators or lifetime congressmen, you know, they could be in this position and various things could be going on in their life. They could become corrupt. This is a big possibility, and we have seen that over and over again. But these lifetime positions are another story. But anyway, so here's the accusation. Came about just, I guess, I don't know, days before he was going to be voted on to be confirmed, okay? Suddenly appears this accusation, something that happened 37 years ago when he was in high school, I think he was 17, by a woman who is a professor, well-educated woman, and that was also pointed out to me very strongly by people who already hung Brett Kavanaugh, guilty, and that happened because this woman, her name is Ford, basically in confidentiality, sent an email to Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, that she remembers now, she recalled or has this memory, a repressed memory, which, by the way, repressed memory is not legal in a court. You cannot put anybody on trial by someone's accusation from a repressed memory. that just doesn't stand up. That just does not. So so she has this repressed memory. She wrote an email to Dianne Feinstein, who held on to that email for 60 days. Why did she do that? Well, there's a reason. Because of the voting on Brett Kavanaugh. So she had to time this release to the mainstream media so that they could put it out to the world about this accusation of this man who was going to become a lifetime judge, okay, on the courts that Trump has basically picked. So now the insanity began. Oh my gosh, I was like blown away at the viciousness of people in this country to hang a man before he even had a chance to speak, just due to a woman's accusation from a repressed memory. Accusation. Now here's the thing. I'm going to lay this out for you. This is what it has come to. I admitted to... Alright, I'm not going to read this because this is actually, to me, not proven. So I'm not going to put it out there about people found out about her history. Which, by the way, before this came out into the public, as far as him being accused, her Facebook accounts, everything on her Facebook was erased. Even the yearbook of the elite high school, girls' high school that she went to, was erased. You couldn't find anything about that school's yearbook during the period she was there. But people did find out about it, and they did find out history about her, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the points I want to make. Okay, she says, Kavanaugh raped me 37 years ago, which, by the way, she was not raped. She didn't say rape, so this person who's writing this information is really wrong about that, and I'm going to say it like it is. She said he groped her, and she felt like she was going to be raped, and she felt like even she was going to die. But 37 years ago, and here's a point, I can't prove it. Here's another point, I can't remember exactly when it happened. Now, I saw her say these things. I saw her say, I can't remember exactly when it happened. I can't remember where it happened. I don't remember how I got there to this party. And I don't remember how I got home. And I never told my parents about it. I never told my friends about it. I never told police about it. I have no witnesses. And not a single person has confirmed her accusations. And this is true. She named four people that were her friends or that were at that party, and one very dear friend of hers, okay, basically came out and said they have no recollection, they were not at that party, and they don't even know Brett Kavanaugh. So basically the four people that she named all said that they weren't there. And they said Kavanaugh would never do such a thing. And so, let me see, she wanted all of this to remain confidential. She did. But the Democrat establishment leaked this info to the New York Times, so that the Democrat establishment, now here's the piece we want to look at, the Democrat establishment could use her to destroy a good and innocent man, because they think this will make people vote for the Democrats, because people hate Trump, and this is part of this whole thing. I don't want to really discuss Trump right now or that whole thing, but what I see is this wave of hatred upon a man who didn't even have a chance to express himself. Even when he did at this it was just an investigation. When he spoke, he was furious. As he has a right to be. He was defending passionately himself, his history, his life, and that of his family's.
And he presented information. He presented evidence.
He presented evidence across the board. He has a journal from the time he was 14. He kept journals because his dad kept journals, which was a good teacher for him. His mother was a judge. And they would, you know, discuss and express things. But he kept journals because that's what his dad did. You know, his dad would sit down with him when he was 9 years old and talk about it's important to write things down and keep track of stuff, you know, and it's kind of an interesting thing. So here this guy being accused of something so vile that, well, basically there's no proof. There really isn't. There's no corroboration of any of her so-called witnesses. And basically it's kind of an ironic thing, isn't it, that he gave these journals, and on the dates that she said these supposedly happened, that period of time, he wasn't even in the town. He had a very busy schedule. He was very involved in things as a young man, you know, so on. And it doesn't matter particularly, you know, sports and volunteer and whatever. So this man offered this information. It didn't matter. It did not matter to anybody because they've already got the rope. Yeah, he's already hung.
They done had him convicted. Even after he had testified and everything, they didn't believe him.
Here's the thing. Here's the pitiful thing. Here's the sad thing that people say. He was too angry. He was too enraged. Would you want a judge on the Supreme Court that's too enraged and too emotional? And if it was a woman saying the things he said, they would be called hysterical. So even though the man, and he was talking about his daughter, and people who were sharing their experience with watching this whole thing said that people were tearing up because this was a very deeply emotional situation, that this man was crying, trying not to cry, basically. He was really choking up. He's talking about what's going on in his family because his children, his 10-year-old daughter, you know, these girls know about what's going on because they're getting threats. They are getting threats against their life by the people in our country.
Well, in this day and age, if you can't passionately tell your side of the doggone story, you know, something's really wrong with this entire.
Well, you're going to be judged.
Yeah,
see, this is no. There's no critical thinking. It's just outright reaction and rage from the population. And I'll talk about this in a minute, where this is coming from.
They're rewriting history for you to see history different than what you're actually witnessing. I want to play, there's a little short podcast of something I stumbled across a while back, but this is pertinent to what's going on with
that. All right, let me finish this piece, because he said they're sitting around the dinner table and discussing what's going on with their children. Because they're getting threats, telephone threats, letter, I mean, all kinds of things, and this is a serious thing. This is about this man's life, his family's life, literally. And he said his daughter, 10-year-old daughter, said, "Daddy, maybe we should all pray for this woman, this accuser." She didn't say that. I'm saying to you.
Yep.
This little girl, 10 years old, said, "Daddy, we should pray for her." And he started to choke up.
Yep.
And he said, "I have no malice against this woman." He said, "Apparently something happened to her 37 years ago, but I was not there, I was not involved," and so on and so forth. Now, he has numerous women coming forth that he has had since high school, friends, college friends, and women that he works with today, who's standing by him, saying he has always been respectful, a good person, and so on and so forth. I mean, dozens and dozens of these women are standing by this man, Brett Kavanaugh, this judge, and that doesn't matter to the people out there who already got the rope. They've already hung him, and the mainstream media did a really good job of that. Now, this woman, Ford, she's being used, and it's a sad thing. She is. Now, she came forward from a repressed memory. Now, but she has a history. Her family has a history involved in the CIA and various other things, and involved with Soros.
yeah.
I mean, this is like, this gets deeper and deeper and deeper and more wacky, wacky stuff. But I want to just emphasize this. So She, at Stanford University, she oversaw the CIA undergraduate internship program developed by the CIA. Her brother worked for Fusion GPS law firm, which is a big situation here. If you don't know anything about the FISA documents, Fusion GPS, well, that's a whole other rabbit hole, but this is in the system here too, which happens to be tied to the Russian dossier put together by M16 operative Christopher Steele, who's basically also Christopher Steele, is on a one of the sealed documents that are the documents about, or the sealed indictments, I'm sorry. This is a mess. This whole thing is a mess. There's so many tentacles to it.
Before we go down that rabbit hole, let me. This is a little 3-minute podcast, and this is what Snopes says. This is a false story. So I want to. We're going to sit here and we're going to go down the rabbit hole together for a second, and you determine from what you hear this little podcast whether or not this man. This story about this man is false. I'm going to play the podcast first, and then I'll read you what Snopes.com said about it.
To understand the complexities and contradictions in his personality, you have to go back to the very beginning, to Budapest, where George Soros was born 68 years ago to parents who were wealthy, well-educated, and Jewish.
When the Nazis occupied Budapest in 1944, George Soros' father was a successful lawyer. He lived on an island in the Danube and liked to commute to work in a rowboat. But knowing there were problems ahead for the Jews, he decided to split his family up. He bought them forged papers, and he bribed a government official to take 14-year-old George Soros in and swear that he was his Christian godson. But survival carried a heavy price tag. While hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews were being shipped off to the death camps, George Soros accompanied his phony godfather on his appointed rounds, confiscating property from the Jews.
These are pictures from 1944 of what happened to George Soros' friends and neighbors.
You're a Hungarian Jew who escaped the Holocaust by posing as a Christian.
Right.
And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
Right. I was 14 years old, and I would say that that's when my character was made.
In what way?
That one should think ahead, one should understand and anticipate events, and one is threatened. It was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal experience of evil.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours, who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator, the property was being taken away. So
I had no role
in taking away that property. So I had no sense of guilt.
Are you religious?
No.
Do you believe in God?
No.
All right, so...
Wow.
you go Google that story up, and Google will automatically redirect you to Snopes, which says, was George Soros an SS officer? Which, according to that, he was not, but he, you know, was basically living with one that was going around doing this thing. Also said to Nazi or a Nazi collaborator during World War II. Now, he's 14 years old, and by that time, I think I was pretty smart, and I could have known the difference between right and wrong. But according to what's that, it says, despite political motivated rumors to the contrary, billionaire leftist George Soros was neither an SS nor a Nazi collaborator in the Second World War. And so, during World War II, George Soros, it says it's false, alright? So, basically, Google already told you this ain't a real story. But at what point in your life, whether you're 14 or 40 or above, whatever, what point in your life are you responsible for your own decisions as far as if you know something's wrong and you come from a Jewish heritage and you're watching this happen to your culture, how could you not speak up, you know?
Well, so listen, I find it interesting that he was only an observer, he says. I was only a spectator, and they were taking it. He used the word it.
Yeah.
Never once did he say my neighbors or Jews, people, children, old people, whatever. He never used those words. He said it, taking it away. So, I'm not guilty because, you know, I was 14 and I was a spectator, period. That's it.
But you know, Barbara...
There's a lot of history about Soros and what he's doing, paying people to protest, for instance. There's factual information on that. You can find that.
Yeah. You know, there's going to come a day where we can't play this clip, what he said right there. And there's the day's already here where... When I googled up that phrase, did George Soros sell out his own people, and, you know, found a video link to what he actually said, Google already redirected me to a counter view of it. YouTube right now today, if you go in there and you look at any moon landing hoax videos, they always put a label to Wikipedia.
Well, you get an alarm. Alarm goes off.
Yeah.
This is what do they say? This is a, I don't know what the term is, but they're giving you a warning. If you enter into that link, you're going to be in trouble because it's got a whatever. I don't know what, but there's alarms that come on. Already, so because it's contrary to what the deep state and the controllers have want to put out. They don't want that information out. This is, people, this is what we're talking about. Censorship. Big
yep.
time is a push censorship. But, so I want to get back to Christine Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. So I watched this whole thing. I watched Christine Ford's... accusation, because this is all that it is. It's an accusation. There's no proof. There's no corroboration to what she is saying occurred. And as I read out, she has no memory, recollection of how she got to this party, which there were only a handful of people there, how she got home, you know, what date it was, and so on and so forth. And the people she named would know about this, are not corroborating with her. And after this amazing, it was pretty stunning and shocking what I saw going on with the... Now, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm just going to say people on the one side that were basically out to hang this man who had a plan, the agenda, to eliminate him from being put on the Supreme Court. That's basically what we're talking about. This is a political ploy. This is not about this woman. It's very sad how they have used her. Something had to have happened to her, I agree. But as he said, and he has sympathy for her, Kavanaugh said, but I was not there. He has proof that he wasn't there. And yet it didn't matter to people. And I have been on Facebook watching people, even people that I know, who basically are saying this man is guilty, he looks guilty, he's guilty because this woman is standing up and wonderful. She's doing this. This is a brave woman. This woman is incredible. Let's stand with this woman. And this is all about the wave of Me Too, the Me Too wave. And I get it. boy, do I get the Me Too wave, but I'm going to say that, boy, women better be careful with what they're doing, because this is basically the determinations about people's lives. You must have proof. You must have due process by law. No one is guilty until, you know, proven that they're innocent. That's our law. But it doesn't matter to the people here in this country. They're hanging this man and ruining his life, basically. Her life is ruined, too. Now, I watched her. I found this video. I watched her, and my female instincts were standing up, and alarms were going off by certain things. I didn't judge her. I just had instincts about certain things of her presentation and what she was talking about, her behavior, her body language, and so on. I'm a woman, man. I know the tactics used by certain women, okay? And it's not a nice thing. But it's sort of like an ingrained persona of a woman when she wants to be taken care of or believed in or sheltered or whatever it is. And this is not a good thing. So I found this video of this woman who does body language. She's an expert at it. She has numerous videos out there. And she was nailing things about Ford's demeanor, her expressions, the way she moved her body. The whole thing, body language, is a really in-depth process of how to use this in investigations, which we should be very aware of, by the way. Body language tells us a lot. Facial expressions, various poses, body language says a lot about a person. And so I was looking at that, and that's something you could probably Google up too. I'm not making a determination for you people. I'm just giving you facts here about what I saw, what my instincts were. The other thing that really struck me was, now you have all these specific group of Democrats who really don't want Trump's pick because of the FISA documents being brought out. The FISA documents will basically name those of the other party that are corrupt and who have created basically treason against this country. These are people that we have voted for. This is what I'm talking about. How are we going to handle this when someone you relied upon by your so-called instincts and voted for, believed in, when it comes out, the truth comes out, that in fact this person has been doing things against you, this country, and all this nation?
Well, they've got everybody pretty much on the verge of, well, I'd say past that, indoctrinated into believing that the United States is actually a democracy. So if you actually listen, even on the Republican side of the fence, they're always talking about protecting our democracy. They pound that in your head over and over and over and over again, which gives you the illusion of choice, because you think because we're a democracy that if most of us come together and say we don't like something, then it doesn't happen.
I need to emphasize that it's on both sides, both parties.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Both sides of the aisle. There are those who have been corroborating with treason and the deep state and dirty doings. But there's a photograph here of after this trial, because they put him on trial, and this was not a trial. This was just giving Ford and Kavanaugh a chance to express.
No, it wasn't a trial in any sense of the fashion. It was a flat-out blatant lynching, because before...
Well, it was that's what I was going to say. It was not a trial. It wasn't an investigation. It was a lynching, and these particular people, there's a photograph here that really says it all. So these people, Feinstein and various other persons that were involved in this, are all giving the thumbs up. They're all laughing. They're all having a good time after all this situation about destroying this life this man's life and using this woman for their own gain. And that's what it's all about.
Before any information, they already had him guilty of the crime. Before any information was laid on the table, before he had any fair hearing whatsoever.
Even the fact that it's been proven that all of her people, the four people that she claimed would know this happened to her, are not corroborating with her. That was put out in that investigation, right in front of everyone. That didn't matter. Didn't matter to the public who have him hung either.
Even after he had his say, it didn't matter because they came out there.
Well, I'm saying they already had him guilty. So even it doesn't matter when you determine someone is guilty from false information and lies and the push of those who have this agenda, you're stuck.
That's right.
Okay.
What you're witnessing right there is democracy in action. That is true democracy. That's not a representative republic. That's true democracy. Flat out. Majority says that you did it whether you did it or not. And even if you didn't do it, it don't matter. Because they still got what they wanted. They delayed the to get him confirmed as judge.
They delayed her email, which, by the way, there is controversy about her email. She also asked for, confidentiality. This was given in confidence. She did not want to be out there in the public, but they did that on purpose because they needed to use her. There's controversy about her letter. Also, people are, writing about what happened, how there's questions about it. There's a whole thing about her letter. I had it here, but now I just can't find it in this moment. But I do want to say that by asking for an FBI investigation, Dianne Feinstein basically might have just put themselves in jeopardy. Because now the FBI finally trumped it, and Kavanaugh said, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. I was willing, he said, to come forward the day after this accusation came out, but you people delayed it.
Yep.
So he was willing, and they kept pushing on him, why don't you ask for an FBI investigation? And he said, basically, he said, I'll do whatever you want. It's not up to him to ask for an FBI investigation upon himself. That's up to the accusers. Okay? But yeah. Dianne Feinstein and the other Dems there kept pushing him, why are you afraid to ask for an FBI investigation? Which is a ploy, basically, for the public to hear, oh, he's afraid to ask for an FBI investigation.
If you ain't got nothing to hide, you'll put yourself on trial. That's not the way it works.
But a person who's accused, they're not responsible for asking for an FBI investigation. It's the accuser that does this. But she never went to a police. She never went to the police. 37 years ago, she never told her parents. She never went to the police. She never reported this. Now they're saying, why don't you have an FBI investigation? This man was vetted by the FBI
six times,
over and over and over again.
Six times for six different positions.
Exactly. So, you know what? That means the FBI, they didn't find nothing.
That's right.
They didn't do their job right.
Oh, man.
FBI is investigating. Okay, Donald Trump finally said, yes, let's let the FBI investigate. I'm almost thinking that this was a perfect thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about, because you know what? They're not going to find anything on Brett Kavanaugh. And you know what? The people are not going to believe it. The people are going to say the FBI didn't do their job.
Yep.
Well, that's what they're going to say.
It don't matter what evidence is presented. That's why it's so important about this censorship deal, because, in the world to come, what we've been talking about through this whole deal, is that, if people only get one side of the information, imagine if all you heard was the Democrat side, where he's guilty, we got evidence, he's guilty, even when
we have only heard that, because guess what? That was their plan, and they put it out on the mainstream media, and the mainstream media ran with it to make this man look guilty, basically, by a woman's accusation from repressed memory that has no corroboration from her witnesses.
Yeah, that's
period.
That's it.
It doesn't matter. People are still saying he's guilty, he's guilty, he's guilty. this is a sad thing to me. I'm just saying, think of that. There's no critical thinking here. People are just being, you know, basically the sheeple. They're being told by the mainstream media that this man is guilty, and that's it. Now, I just want to read this. Twitter has been given the green light.
Can you mute your mic, Barry?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara. Okay. Barry's joined us.
Oh, yeah. Hey, okay. Let me just go through this. Twitter has been given the green light to blanket censor all content deemed to threaten their survival, the election and blah, 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 or any other information. Google and Facebook, well, they'll follow, and frankly, they're already involved in the censorship. Expect, also, this is information about what's coming. Expect a blackout attempt, okay? Welcome to the police state. They know if they lose, it's over. And so on.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Our lives, our freedom of everything, speech, being, traveling, whatever you want to call it, is being threatened right now. So we have this game here that they're playing with this attempt to hang this man, to disallow him from being put on the Supreme Court. Do you know why? Because this man is a conservative judge, and all the judiciary system pretty much up to this point has been corrupt and playing the game and owned by the deep state.
Yep.
They are terrified that this man will get in, and this is why they're ruining his life and ruining that life of that woman.
Yeah, all because of political ideology or whatever, you know. Truth is a lie, and burn the book, because that's exactly
what's happening.
Well, we're talking,
this is, you know what, this is evil to me. Evil at work, right in front of our faces, people. This is what we're dealing with today, and the whole system is you know, being manipulated, and we are being manipulated and lied to throughout history. If you haven't gotten that piece by now, I don't know what basically, you know, to do. I just want to talk about the Me Too movement for a moment, because so this push, this wave of accusations and proof by trial and jury, okay, of certain people who are now in jail, Bill Cosby one of them, which I am thrilled that this man, well, I can't even call him a man, I'm sorry. I guess I don't know what to call this person. I don't know. And also Weinstein, and there's tons of more who are now in jail or have been arrested and will go on trial by judge and jury, due process.
Yep.
Proof. Okay, that's how our system works. And these men, because women have been attempting for I don't know how long to be listened to be respected, to have justice about what happened to them, and we have journalists, we have politicians, we have Hollywood people, producers and movie people, actors, we have priests, we have bishops, we have gym teachers, we have doctors, we have across the board, we have people being arrested for sexual assault and pedophilia and sex child trafficking and over and on and on and on. So the Me Too Act is a wave that is, I'm going to say it's about time, but I also want to say it's a very significant and precarious moment in our history, in that women, I get the rage, I get the fury, trust me, I do. But it's so important that we do not hang men before proof. Okay, you have to have proof. It's not just, well, I said he did this, or a man saying, well, she did that. I mean, we have to be very careful today, because now I see people coming out saying, an 80-year-old woman just came out yesterday saying that she's speaking out because of the Me Too way, you know, Me Too process, that when she was 13. 80 years old, she's standing up saying, when she was 13, she was groped, okay, by some guy. Okay. How far back are we going to go? Okay. How far back are we going to go? Kids are playing in the yard, and you know how kids are. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. I'm just saying, natural curiosity, whatever it is, how far back are we going to go with these accusations? It's a scary thing because you know what? There are women, there were parents, women specifically, who were saying, I'm scared for my son.
Yeah.
I'm scared for my husband. The neighbor down the street or somebody stranger could come along and say, my son violated her, or my son, or my husband, or this is where we're going?
Yeah.
This is a, you know, do you remember the Inquisition?
Yeah.
Everybody should remember the Inquisition, okay? The Inquisition set up just basically to burn people, to kill people, murder people, violate people because somebody said so.
That's right, and here you go. That's the whole key of what's going on right here. You know, if you're only being able to see one version of the truth, you know, even if the, you know, the truth is a lie or what, regardless, whether it's the gospel truth, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're only allowed to see one version of the truth and that's what you base everything on, then you're blindly following anybody because truth is subject to the honesty of the teller. That's why I kept on saying to everybody that was telling me, well, you can't trust the Bible because it was written by a man. Well, I got news for you, folks. Every book out there was written by a man, including the books that were, you know, digital books out here in cyberspace, including the words that come up out of your mouth off of your keyboard that you're sitting there typing to the world. And that truth out there that you want to get out to people, if it's blocked off, your truth never gets told. And anybody who you want to try to defend yourself from an accusation that somebody else put their truth of your life out there on the table, and you're not allowed to defend yourself because only the truth that is acceptable by the mainstream or the leader or the democracy, so to speak, is acceptable. The rest of the truth out there, you can't speak it. You can't write it. You can't do videos about it. That's the dangerous road we're standing on right now.
I have to say this. Man, I just got done talking about a case called the accusation, okay, against a judge who has been vetted numerous times by the FBI in order to hold positions throughout his life.
Yep.
I've just got done talking about accusations are not guilty. It's an accusation. I'm talking about this woman swore. Okay, she held up her hand and she swore to tell the truth in this investigation the other day by the Senate and the House. She stood up and told her story. She said, this happened to me. She said so-and-so and so-and-so was there. She said her best friend was there and should know Kavanaugh and know what happened. Her best friend denied knowing anything about this and not even knowing Kavanaugh. Now, okay, I'm going to point this out. Yes, Chief Charles Two Dogs says 16 women swore, 45 did bad things to them, but nothing was done. Okay, 16 women swore. Okay, this woman swore also, and there's no corroboration, even though she said there's people that were there and knew about this, and she's really trying to prove her story. She's there, she's crying, she wasn't crying, there were no tears. She was talking about the incident and there was no emotion. There was like a, sort of like a choking up, but there was no tears. This is a horrific thing that happened to her, she's saying. So 16 women swore, 45, you know who 45 is. 45 is President Donald Trump. Say it how it is.
Yeah.
I am not a Trumper. I'm going to say that. You have to listen to this. 16 women. Well, guess what? I don't know how many women came up and said so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. I don't know how many men have said so-and-so did this and I swear they did it and it's not true. You can say all you want, so-and-so did this to me and so-and-so did that to me. You must, by court of law, due process, have proof.
There you go.
The reason nothing was done is because there is no proof. I'm sorry. I have to say it.
And it's
people who hate Trump are going to say whatever they want. These people who are hanging Judge Kavanaugh, I know women who have been assaulted sexually. No one ever helped them. No one listened to their story. There was no justice, no due process. These women are enraged. I get it. I understand their rage, but they're hanging a man who is there is no proof that he did anything. As a matter of fact, there's a journal that proves he wasn't even there. But yeah, they're still hanging him because they're enraged. This is where we have to be careful, folks. You are enraged. These women are enraged and hate men because they were violated and they didn't get justice and nothing happened to them. I get the rage, but my dear, please, you cannot accuse every man and without proof.
I want to read something. At least 39 executions are claimed to have been carried out in the U.S. in the face of evidence or innocence or serious doubt about guilt since 1976. The United States has executed over 1,400 offenders. None of them have since been granted, posthumous exoneration, basically been proven not to be guilty after they've already been, done in. That's not even counting. That's just a scratch on the surface of how many people are actually in prison who swear up and down that did not do it. And there was all kinds of people who, afterwards had said they didn't do it. Or later on, in fact, that they found DNA evidence to prove they didn't do it. So
that's correct.
There are people who went to jail. There are people who had been executed who the facts come out and it looked like they might have done it. So everybody jumped on the bandwagon. And a jury actually found them guilty, even though they were innocent. And it might have been a case of mistaken identity. But nonetheless, it looked like they did. So everybody said they did. And bam, there you go. So
well, what you just said, there are many people, men and women, who have been accused of things because the people swore that they did it.
Yep.
And then years later, 25 years, 15 years, 30 years later, it's proven, in fact, they did not do it.
We got Barry up in here. Are you there, Barry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Barry.
Sorry, we're on a roll, brother.
Hard to get in where they edgewise with this group out there.
Yeah, we didn't try to forget
you. We're on fire today.
I am on fire too, listening to you, Barbara. And I'm going, I just want to scream. And this insanity of this world, I think it's actually making my brain go insane because I ask myself every day, how did we get to this point? How did we get to this point in our society where this kind of unbelievable charade is being played out in America? I mean, I've looked at this. I mean, people don't know that this Dr. Ford's parents had their house repossessed in a circuit court in 1998, and the judge that oversaw the proceedings was Judge Kavanaugh's mother.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I knew that, but they don't tell that part of the story.
You hear that in mainstream media?
Huh.
You never hear it. I mean, this is just, it's unbelievable that this is going on. I mean, I've looked at this all week, and I've been following it probably pretty close. I know Barbara's been following it really close. But to me, it's just a travesty that America has gotten to this point, where the presumption of guilt is absolutely overwhelming, that this woman says something and she absolutely has to be believed. I shake my head, guys. I really do. I don't know where we're going. We're at a pivotal point right now. We really are. We're at a point right now that people don't stand up to what's going on. And I see it in my country coming like gangbusters right now, what's going on in our government. They're absolutely out of control.
Yeah, well, let me read something about out of control real quick, and then I'll let you finish your thought there. The U.S., yeah, which leads the world in incarcerations of its citizens, has approximately, now brace yourself for this, folks, approximately 2 million people behind bars. That means a wrongful conviction rate of 1% would translate to 20,000 innocent people wrongfully convicted, punished for crimes they did not commit. On death row, 1 in 25 are likely innocent, according to a recent study. Think about that. Okay, go ahead, Barry.
Well, now you got me off my thought.
Sorry, but I had to throw that in there because we're talking about corruption in not only the United States government, but Canada's government and the way that everything's going awry over there in your home nation, you know. This is across the board.
We're the laughing stock of the world now. We are literally, Canada has become laughing stock of the whole planet because of our Matt Daddy, feminist, Islamic, I don't know how to describe him. She says, I never swear on the radio, but this man is completely exposed his agenda now to Canadians, fully to see what his intentions are for this country. And the good thing about it is that Canadians are rising now in mass. There is a huge movement of patriotic Canadians that realize that now if we don't stand up, our freedom to speak is going to be taken away.
That's right.
Going absolutely insane in Canada.
That's what today's deal's all about.
We're seeing it amped up. You know, the thing about it, the ramping up of this agenda, we're seeing it pretty well the same being played out in all countries that are involved. So really what's going on in Australia, what's going on in New Zealand, what's going on in England, France, Germany, it basically, they're a little bit ahead of us. Germany now, like I said last week, and I've heard it right from German people, they're ready to go to war. They're just at the breaking point right now where, like I said, German women can't walk the street at night without being wooed, without being raped. I mean, that's coming to Canada. Now we're seeing Canadian citizens being murdered by Syrian refugees brought in.
Well, that was intentional.
This government's program.
That was intentional because they knew you couldn't mix this particular culture with that particular culture and get good results because they already said ahead of time.
It's all part of it.
They hate America. They hate the West and stuff. They said it before they ever even came over. They burnt flags. They attacked people. They showed by example why it is you should not bring them in masses like they did. I understand if somebody's in a position in whatever country where they're being persecuted that you allow them refuge in your country. That's great. I love that because I want everybody to be safe. But when you look at it, the overall deal, it doesn't matter which religion, because you know they talk about Christianity being bad. Well, you know, the Islamic radicals over there, when they're chopping people's heads off, that's not something I want in my neighborhood, you know. But they allowed this in masses, and now that it's backfiring in their face, not the people who chose to do it, but the people who were suckered into believing that it was a noble deed to bring, you know, wayward people into your home and, you know, protect them and give them a house. And now their culture that they did over there, where they didn't respect their women, is now right there, and it's happening to their women now. And so,
how come we have laws against hate speech in literature and any kind of media in Canada, the United States of America, but the Quran is allowed to be sold in bookstores?
Yeah.
That is the biggest piece of hate literature that was ever written. And it is allowed to be perpetrated in our society. And you see Bibles and anything that's pro-conservative, pro-anything to do with what we believe is the fundamentals of life being taken away from us. It's happening in our libraries. It's happening in our schools. The tentacles of this thing are deep, and they're running all through our society now. And boy, I'll tell you, I knew that there was going to be really crazy stuff come. We all knew that. You know, we all kind of woke up years ago and knew that they had a plan for the future. But now we see how Islam is being used to perpetrate that plan, how it is totally destroying our Western culture. They'll never, ever assimilate to Western culture. That is not their plan. Their plan is to come in and take over.
Years ago, I was watching the news, and this Islamic guy comes on there, and he said that they believe that one day the Islamic flag would be flying over the White House. Well, that, of course, is American. That offended the heck out of me. They just said they was going to come over and basically take over is what they said. That was words coming out of their mouth. But see, if you talk about that, that means that you're, you know, racist or homophobic or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
Islamophobe,
yeah. That's one of the phobes that they put out there as a label. But
look, I'm going to put this into the chat, but I found this link the other day because I've been looking at this whole thing that's going on in Europe, and basically the wave of the mastermind behind the mass invasion of Europe. This is a mass, there's a mastermind plan, and this is what we're looking at. Now, okay, so you have migrations and immigrants coming due to certain things going on in the Middle East, and you can't blame those people, but who set that up to begin with was the deep state.
Yep.
And there is the plan to basically push all these people into Europe. Now where you have gangs and rapes and beating up of people, I saw a video the other day, the police can't even deal with it there. And so I'm going to put this in the chat. I put it into the chat below, you guys. And this actually involves Soros / Rothschild's Open Society Plan. You know, this is what we're talking about. It shows, this article shows the plan that is behind the Muslim mass migration, okay, in 8 obvious stages, and the whole system about what it's, what the reason is, the money that's involved, the lives that are involved. Basically, what we're looking at is, okay, it's about a master plan to destroy Europe's borders and old culture, ethnically, religiously, economically, for the purpose of a communist one-world government, Agenda 21/30. Now, oh my God, I just used that word communist. Well, communist / socialism, pretty much one and the same thing, as even Marx said. He said communism is socialism, or eventually melds in to become socialism, or vice versa, I'm saying. So I'm going to put this in. You can read it yourself, but this is what we're talking about, is you can have sympathy. I do have sympathy, and I was like appalled at the idea of a border wall. I was like, wait a second, we are a nation of immigrants. How can we turn people away who are suffering? Now, I'm looking at the women and the children, and of course that's all you see on the mainstream media. But then when you really do research and you look around, you see waves of hordes of men, young men who are not married, not, you know, whatever, they're coming into the country and they're raping women, and as you say, that's happening now in Canada, and murdering, violence, and this is a plan, and this is why we have to be alert and do our research and just not.
Let me ask you a question, Barbara. Do you know what ordo ab chao means?
Oh yeah.
Why, that
order
means,
order out of chaos.
Yeah, that means. That means I don't like a particular church, and it's full of people, so I come in there and I set fire to the church, and then I rush in there as the fireman and I put the fire out, and then so now I'm the hero, right? Does that sound familiar? Yeah.
You know something? There are stories of firemen, people who have joined fire companies, and who go out and set fires.
Yeah, just so they can go out and put them out.
Huh. Yeah, just so they can get the thrill of putting out the fire.
Yeah, so they can get
adrenaline junkies with a twisted perspective.
That's right. So the people at the time...
You're absolutely correct, Barbara. It's not immigration, it's an invasion. You're right, our countries were formed on strong immigration, but people came to North America, came to the United States and Canada, knowing that they're going to have to work, that they were going to have to become part of the society, and they were have to find a job. There was no big meal ticket sitting there waiting for them. It's completely changed. And what we're seeing in Canada now is just the start. That one house that was arrested, guys, if this doesn't shock Canadians, the amount of carbethanol that was found in one house in Canada is enough to kill everybody in the country. Every single Canadian citizen could be killed with one drug seizure in one house of a gentleman that was the brother of the Syrian refugee that committed the 2 murders on the Danforth. So if people don't wake up to this, and this is completely being quashed by mainstream, I mean, people really got to start calling out mainstream. We really got to get to the bottom of the problem, and media is the bottom of the problem.
Well, yeah, and that, and the banking system, you know, these folks out there that are rich, they got a vision of the world that it's like their own version of a utopian society, you know, where they're kings and queens, and they have servants, but they have to have that number of servants down to a more manageable deal. So, in order for them to be able to bring about their, you know, one world government or whatever, they have to create chaos. they have to create wars and destruction and everything that they can to tug on the hearts of all the masses out there to actually quite literally comply. You know,
bring a new line, bring a new line to keep you safe, guys.
Yeah.
They have to create divisiveness. They have to create hate. They have to create the chaos, the nightmare, so that we're basically fighting each other where we can't even come to critical thinking.
That's
right. We can't even come to the sacred fire and sit down in a circle and come together for the goodness of the whole. This is about separation. This is what this is about.
And that's why...
This flat earth crap that came out. I mean, come on. You got people that want to fight each other because one guy is absolutely not convinced that the earth is flat. I mean, it's just another division, but it's multiple instances of that we could talk about that it brought in just to keep us fighting.
Does it matter if the earth is flat or round if we can't drink the water?
Yeah, and even to that extent, that is why these folks have to be able to control the information. They have to control the books. They have to control the truth. You know, whether the earth is flat, round, concave, convex, hollow, or dodecahedron, like Barbara said, it doesn't matter. If you pollute the fishbowl you're living in, you're not going to fare so well. And we all, with common sense, we get that. But these folks out here that are actually pulling the strings, the money men behind the scenes, and even what you've seen with this going on with this judge, and even what you've seen going on in politics in the representation of Canada, are all one and the same. It's all the same exact game being played out on you, the people, by distracting you, pitting you against each other, labeling you, and making it look like if you talk about certain subjects, you got a crazy tinfoil hat on, or whatever, you know, and suppressing the information. And if you think there ain't paid trolls that actually get out there, yeah, you really haven't been paying attention, because there's people that come right out of the blue under certain subjects, and they will say some of the most bizarre stuff to try to discredit any information that you're putting out. Never mind what the truth is, even the truth that was told by the mainstream education. That truth is twisted and turned to fit whatever agenda is on the table for the elitist of the world. And the elitist of the world, it just doesn't just stop at corporations and government, congresses, senates, and parliaments, and, you know, presidents, or even dictators for that matter. It doesn't just stop up there because of the information provided to you, which is, this is the key, and really pay attention to what I'm about to say. Because of the information provided to you, if you're only getting one side of the story or propagandized, you will quite literally give yourself up to the beast. You will quite literally go out there and burn books and confiscate people's property, burn people deemed to be witches. You, the people, are the true military of the world. You are the ones that are on the battlefield. You are the ones that they get out there as police officers to abuse your fellow brothers and sisters. So if you're only getting one side of the story, whatever you do in war, whatever you do in the law enforcement or the judicial system or the legislative system, you will be manipulated by the people who gave you that truth. And so the world that you live in, you're going to create. You're going to create because you allowed this system to lie to you to the extent that you were willing to pick up a gun and go shoot some man in a foreign country just because he looked different than you, just because his religious views were different than you, just because he had resources that your country deemed was necessary for the survival of continuity of government. If you don't pay attention to what I'm saying right now, George Orwell's book, 1984, which to me were almost right there at the big breaking point where it's there. You're going to start seeing people being arrested for thought crimes. You've already seen people being censored to the extent where their book has been burned. Alex Jones, he got his book burned. He's not on the internet like he was before. He's still on the internet. You can go to his website out there. But nonetheless, when the time comes, just like as if people wanted to come to Shaziz Radio, and because I don't have that little secured certificate on ShazizRadio.com, or maybe the other program that I use for the chat on a different website doesn't have that secured certificate, a little red flag will pop up and say, you're at a dangerous site. Turn around. Go the other direction. Do I sound dangerous?
I was going to say, even if you don't particularly like Alex Jones, that's your right. It does not matter. What we're talking about is censorship here. If you can censorship, if the system, the cabal, the elite, the deep state can censor Alex Jones, and they're working on not only Alex Jones, but other people as well. People who have alternative viewpoints, like you and I and Barry.
Right.
People like us who are searching and seeking out truths to share with the people, they don't want the truth to be told. And you have your perspective. I have my perspective. The people have a right to their perspective. We're not forcing anybody or pushing anyone to believe what we're saying. We are sharing information, like is our right. But they are censoring everyone now, and it's gonna, like I read out that thing, they're censoring all kinds of people that are basically have a different perspective. Now, this whole thing, Alex Jones basically, pretty much it's saying taken down because he's a conspiracy wackadoodle. So if conspiracy realists, or they're calling us theorists, are nothing and they're laughable, they're a bunch of wackadoodles. Why are they so concerned? Why are they working to shut us up?
Barbara?
There must be something of truth in what we're saying. There's
Barbara?
A reason, right?
Do you remember what we just played that little podcast? Do you remember George Soros' justification for why it was okay that as 14 years old that he...
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm only 14 years old. I'm not responsible. So I can do whatever I want, and so it's okay.
I can watch it be removed.
And I can,
I can watch it.
Can do it because if I wasn't doing it, somebody else would be doing it. Look, if you go out there and you take a man's life under the guise of a lie, does that make you a hero? I'm just trying to ask the common sense question. If you ain't allowed to talk the truth, even if your truth is a flat-out lie, even if you're propagandizing, if I can't get both sides of the story to hear what you have to say and what you have to say, then you only get one side of the story. And if you, as a police officer,
well,
go out and take somebody's life or whatever...
They're writing our history in this very moment we are speaking.
Yeah, they did it during the hearing.
I'll tell you something, guys. One person that I really, really pay attention to and have been for a while is Dr. Jordan Peterson. And he just did a video on the whole Kavanaugh charade. So I urge people to go to YouTube and look at his last video on this whole thing as it was being played out and his assessment of it. His videos now are getting literally one video is over 1 million views.
One of the most intelligent guys in the world. Yeah, they changed
really
history.
Smart man, so listen to him. He makes
right.
a lot of sense.
I want to watch that video because they changed history right before my very eyes. No matter what this guy put on the table as far as evidence, they quite literally sat there and changed history right before your very eyes. I mean, you get to witness it live. All right, and they're sitting there. You heard the evidence. You heard her side of the story. You heard everything that Barbara mentioned about all the there's like 12 different discrepancies in her deal where nobody had any corroborating evidence. And what you just mentioned, Barry, it's the same exact thing. They sat there, and after all this information down there, everybody knew about it. They even had this information prior to the event, months prior to the event. And all the things that played out, you got to watch it. And anybody who paid attention from start to finish about this whole deal, we knew the story. And then when he's sitting there telling
well,
this information,
knowledgeable people
they came out there and said,
actually, what's going on?
Yeah, they came out there and said he did it.
Okay.
Oh, you're
anybody that watched this and really weighed in the evidence and listened to what was being said, and sure, her opening statement was passionate. It was. But, you know, I believe the woman was assaulted. I honestly believe she was assaulted at one point in her life. But it wasn't Judge Kavanaugh. So if you put that scenario in front of her, it's very easy for a person to just change the name when they're experiencing and portraying that passion in front of a court of law. And that's exactly what we saw.
Like I said, repressed memory is not even recognized in a court of law.
But you're a woman. Exactly. You're a woman hater for saying that, Barry.
I'm sorry. Tell me what that site was, Barry, that you talked. You just watched.
Just Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson speaks on
Jordan,
Greg Chat.
Jordan or
Peterson.
Yeah.
Just look him up on YouTube, Barry. I don't know if you ever listened to the man. That he has literally been responsible, and this is not me saying this, is thousands of testimonials have come in that people have listened to this man talk and it's completely changed their view on society.
Yep.
He's a very, 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 very intelligent man. I love listening to him talk because when he's talking, I have a hard time keep up. But, you know, he hits home on so many issues. And why we see this being played out, and who's behind it, and how it's all being perpetrated in society. He touches on issues of all social issues, like social gender identity.
Oh, I know who that is, Jordan Peterson.
He's incredible. Yeah. He really is.
Oh, I've watched him.
I pushed his videos on my Facebook page.
Yes, I've watched him a lot. He's
great. And he's really, really knowledgeable, man. So I put his videos up on my Facebook pages all the time, and I get lots and lots of people going to listen to him. So. Good thing to do.
He'll be
banned.
There you go. That's what I was getting ready to say.
Hopefully, at this point, is at a point that we see this, and that there's enough people that will start pushing back because we still have the numbers and we can still stop it. But if we don't stop it soon, this conversation that we're having right now will no longer exist. Period.
That's it.
And that's. And it's not going to take long because they're unrolling all these different plans.
We're last of a dying breed.
What's going on behind the curtains? Go ahead.
Well, I say we're last of a dying breed because our days are numbered. Because if this thing's allowed to continue the way it is, Alex Jones got kicked to the curb. You know, how long is it before they deem ShazizRadio.com as a hate group because we talk about all kinds of things on here? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the content of the words you're saying all together combined. It could be one specific word. Just like I used to joke about how we could get extra listeners by saying bomb or gun or terrorist, you know, and suddenly the CIA or the NSA or all the alphabet soups jump in there. Oh, what did he say? What did he say? You know. And so
algorithms.
That's it. And Barry, let me ask you a question, Barry. You know how artificial intelligence works, and I'm gonna become God of the digital realm. I'm gonna get me a chip in my head, right? And I'm gonna be the digital God, and I get to choose from this point on what your truth is. And if I don't like your truth, I can delete your truth. If I got something that I want being said, if I got an agenda that I want going on, no matter what you say, whatever, you have to follow me no matter what. Do you want me with that kind of power? Do you want me to have that? Do you trust me enough to, even though we've been friends and we know each other's hearts and minds, do you trust me enough to have the power over you to say what you can believe or what you can't believe?
See you later.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
Friendship, buddy.
Yeah, it's done deal. You know?
Activate your critical thinking.
That's it.
People gotta think. People gotta really, you know what, when I talk to people now, and, you know, you really gotta kind of get the people to the fact that this is something that you shouldn't look at or you have to look at. It's absolutely your duty to look at this. It's your duty if you love this country, and I say this to people, if you love what Canada has given to you, and you love this country, then it is absolutely your duty to take an hour of your time and look at this information that I'm trying to share with you.
That's right.
And let's share that with people all the time. Now, Barbara, I had on my Facebook page that I posted a really powerful video on Canada this week. For the first time, it lit right up. I had 100 and some odd views the first day. So, people are starting to look at this stuff now, and you really kind of get to people. We got to reach people's heart. Heart has been so destroyed. You know, the divisions I see in our society, how they've been brought into our society, how we're fighting amongst each other over such frivolous matters that have been brainwashed into our heads being important. We really got to get to people's hearts and make them understand that, you know, the very future of your life, the way you see things, everything you enjoy right now, is virtually going to be taken away. And if that doesn't resonate with people, then they're beyond being reached.
We're also racing the clock, Barry, because this information war is going to come to an end. There's going to be a winner in the information war. You know, and basically...
Wrapping it up, buddy. I'll tell you,
That's it. Depending on who actually comes out on the top, whether it's we the people maintain the power of being able to talk to each other, or the system actually gets the power to decide what is truth and what is a lie, before a group of your brothers and sisters decide that the government says that these books aren't good, they're not worthy of you reading, so we got to burn these books. And keep in mind, folks, it was the people who burned the books. It may have been the leaders who suggested it, but it was the average Joe who went around taking these books. It was the average Joe who went through their own libraries pulling these books out and burning them. All right, so that's truth that never will be told. Even if it was a book that had lies in it, at least you could read the lying book and the truthful book, and you could come to your own decision and choose your own destiny. But now, if I'm the one in control and I get to tell the truth, I'll tell you, the truth of my world is that we all had a wonderful hunky-dory life. Everything, you know, nothing bad ever happened in this world. It was all beautiful and butterflies and flowers and stuff. I'm going to tell the best truth possible. Hopefully everybody will get along from that point. That's my agenda, that everybody's going to get along and we're going to live happily ever after. Well, if my truth is a lie, and your heritage is now gone because I said everything was all beautiful and these things never occurred, do you understand the danger in that?
The danger we face as a society right now, like Barbara said earlier in the show, and I absolutely resonate with the fact that we're at a checking point. We're either going to win or we're going to lose.
That's right.
And losing is something that I do not want to envision. So as long as we have this ability to keep talking, I know we will, but if we don't stop this, guys, and stop it soon, then our ability to do this is going to be taken away, and they will win.
Failure at this
point. I don't want that for my children, man. I never thought we'd see it come to this point this fast, but here we are.
Failure at this point in the game is not an option. Go ahead, Barbara.
We have someone on People for People chat here. Lisa says, here in the South of the United States, most schools have banned To Kill a Mockingbird, the book, because it's racist. And Red responds, yes, which means it has good information inside it.
Yeah. I want to say this one last time. The U.S., which leads the world in incarceration of its citizens, and keep in mind, these are for-profit prisons. All right? For-profit. Profit. Making money because you're in jail. Has approximately 2 million people behind bars, and I'm sure that number is a lot larger now because, you know, when this article was February 3rd of 2016, and we're in 2018 now, so I'm sure there's a lot more people in jail.
I want to know who, nobody has critical thinking. The people in the South wonder who determined that this story, To Kill a Mockingbird, is racist. Who determined this?
Yeah, that's it.
And who says you're not allowed to read this book? You're not allowed, because frankly, what makes that book racist? You know, this is about an incident that happened. I love that book, by the way, and I love that movie. Powerful, powerful story. And based pretty much on some facts, you know, factual evidences. But here you have this story about this black man being falsely accused, which is pretty pretty traditional in our country. And a he was given due process, okay, which is his right. But that was a period of time where due process for people of color was not present. They just went out and lynched a guy.
So he would have been within the 20,000 people punished for crimes they didn't commit just because there were people who didn't like him because of his color. You know, and
that's right.
That's well, sad.
Here we are today. A lynch mob has this Kavanaugh hung already without due process at all. You know, without any cooperation of the accusers, statements, none. But they've got him already hung. So where are we here? I don't know if you remember. The lynchings in the
South. Trump called for an FBI investigation, and that's a blessing, Barb, because the FBI is going to come back and say there's absolutely no corroborated proof, and these people are going to face perjury charges.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
Well, this is why it's a good thing, and I think it's kind of
a good thing. It's a great thing. It's great.
It's almost a little plan there, isn't it?
Well, we're living it upside down.
There is an agenda. Let's talk, just, I don't want to switch subjects here, but... what's going on right now in the States is absolutely insane, and you were talking earlier about people being arrested. Well, there was a lot of hummer and a lot of talk on the internet right now about military tribunals and the act of war that Trump apparently signed as an executive order last week, and what it all means. And, you know, we're really at a kind of a tipping point right now, because Trump is at war. Like him or love him or hate him. I have listened to his speech at the United Nations, and how this is all being played out is the big question in my mind. We know there's pawns in every story, but what Trump has said at the United Nations, his follow-up speeches, everything there was absolutely, as far as I was concerned, resonated with the way I see things.
Well,
now we have a situation where you're going to see, I believe, how this is all going to go down. And I do have a couple of people in American stations that have been really getting some good conversations and good info about exactly what's going to go down. I think we're going to see a mass arrest situation in the United States of America.
Well, I agree.
Maybe, but
I'm going to agree with you.
What are the implications, Barbara?
We've been talking about this. I talked about it last week. We've been Patty and I have been talking about this for a long while. And ironically,
I just wanted to bring it back into the conversation.
Yeah, but it's very important, because what we've been talking about, what's going to be coming, you know, doing researches and putting things together, and we determined that we are heading for martial law. Now, we did this quite a while ago, and now it is apparent, because we've been pretty much told that martial law will be called for because of what's going to be happening when the FISA documents, redacted, are going to come out. And by the way, that certain people in the Democratic Deep State Party contacted Trump and asked him, or proposed, let's say they proposed this. If you do not put out these FISA redacted documents, we will hold back on the Ford testimonies, accusations. Now that tells you something.
Well, I got a question about martial law, because as a white male Christian, I think that it depends on which side of the fence actually is in control of said martial law, whether or not I'm going to be sitting at a tribunal trying to defend myself like Judge Kavanaugh did with something
There are 57,000 sealed documents. There's the FISA redacted document that's going to come out that will... The reason they don't want this to happen is because it will name names, and they're part of these names of the dirty doings that they've been involved in. And you have various other informations that will be coming out, and they're running scared, so they're pushing all the false flags and all whatever they can do to basically stop this process. But you know, it's almost like this is going to be a reset of the whole system, and this is going to be serious. So a martial law, basically the Constitution of the United States, holds nothing. That's down the tubes in that moment. There will be checkpoints in the streets. There will also be possibly mercenaries here, because you're going to have people rioting in the streets because people are angry. People are angry righteously, and people are angry with false information, due to false information. And this is where they have pitted us against each other to get us out in the streets to create revolution and fighting and carrying on so that they can call martial law. This is the whole idea. Now, martial law basically eliminates every right that you think you have.
Yeah, you okay. said checkpoints in the street. I want to ask you a question. You live in, where you live, do you see a whole lot of new roundabouts put in place?
Yes. Yeah,
doesn't
as a matter of fact.
Doesn't that yes. ring a warning sign in your head when you see that? Because normally when they got something like that, you have to go to like military bases, almost a situation like that where you're guided into a certain area and you got to stop or whatever before you're allowed to go through.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have also, we've been reporting for a few years now, the FEMA camps. We've been reporting, people have been videotaping, you know, train tracks filled with tanks, you know, and various other military things. Ramping up here in this country, and people have been questioning, okay, what are these FEMA camps for? Well, now I kind of mm-hmm. know what they're for. When you have martial law and people are out in the streets angry about what is being proven pretty much about certain persons or people they voted for or just whatever, downright angry people, revolution in the streets, they're going to need martial law, okay? And now when martial law happens, everyone is subject. Everyone.
Yep.
Martial law means they can come to your house if, basically, because now we have the spying on everybody, and we have the algorithms that prove that you've been talking about treasonous subjects according to their perspective, and so you are basically on their list. You are subject to the martial law, the military, or mercenaries coming in, knocking on your door, well, not knocking on your door, breaking into your house, arresting you, taking all things, whatever, even money, items, your computer, even food. I'm quoting here from a list of what happens when martial law is called. It's pretty huge. So you have a wave of chaos in the streets, and the government has to control this insanity, and they call martial law. And they set up the system where you can't budge. Your checkpoints, you can't travel, you can't do nothing. Everything is basically like you're in a military state. And we have talked about this for years, Patty and I, and now here it is right in our face because of what's happening in the deep state and the takedown of the deep state. Exactly. And all that's going to be exposed, the pedophilia rings that are being exposed, the sex traffic rings that are being exposed. There are thousands and thousands of people who have already been arrested that mainstream media does not put out. You have to look in other areas, which we're talking about. You have to do research in alternative news, alternative information that they are basically incrementally taking down so that you don't know what's going to be happening.
So I think it would be safe to say we're coming to a crescendo here pretty quick.
We are. And you know what, Barry? I think on some level we have known this has to happen. Because this is a bigger piece here. To me, it's a bigger piece. You step back and you look, there's something bigger going on here. All things are in play, and I'm going to say all things meaning prophecy. Everyone's
and
participating.
How this plays into it. How... You know, here's a scenario that, you know, I've run through my brain 100 times here. Is, you know, martial law is declared in the United States of America. The American government gets complete control back over society. What stops that government from all of a sudden flipping?
Well, so you
exposing
have...
Exposing the true agenda. If there's a different agenda, and we're all being fooled and we're being played, which, you know, is a real big possibility, it takes nothing for a person in power to flip. You have the ability, you've lost the ability to stop it. So there's a, you know, multiple thoughts. I'm not a Trump supporter. I still believe that he is just a big pawn being played in a very, very big game. And if you don't go down the rabbit holes and you don't understand what's going on in other countries, how the same game is being played, and really it's going to come to the point where they say go.
Because well, you know, when Trump...
You know, when you have a society where a very, very small group of people control all the money on this planet. parallels in this planet, and they can basically...
And that we know of, exactly. Yeah. So,
when he wants the button wherever they can, and then
yeah.
you
chaos. Well, this is, here's the thing. I have known that, you have known that, and there are certain things I have known for many years, as well as you and others, and the point is these are now being exposed. Now, I'm not a Trumper either, but here's the thing. When Donald Trump, in December, was first in office, he put out a specific law to take down pedophilia and sex trafficking and child sex trafficking. He put out, that was one of his first things he did, and he spoke about how awful this was, how terrible this was, and we have to put a stop to it, and boom, all these people, all this That's information true. Started happening where pedophile rings, sex trafficking, people were being taken down, exposed, I mean, across the board, and again, you will not see this in mainstream media, because they're basically part of the deep state that has set that system up. The right. sex trafficking, drug trafficking, and so on. The war machine, you know, against the people, against the children. So Donald Trump did that. And that I have to give him kudos for. Well, I watched his speech at the United Nations. The one thing that really struck me was he said, we will not participate in globalization. I was like, woohoo. Because
yeah.
globalization is one world order.
Exactly.
Okay, now
he spoke defiantly against it.
He spoke defiantly against it, and he also said, we're not playing your game. Okay? Now, here's the other thing. Knowing the little bit that I know about Donald Trump is he is a winner. He wants to be top-notch. He wants to be the king. He will never lose. He will never accept no. On some mm-hmm. levels, that's a pretty good thing to have that kind of... He will not play the game. He will not... But... Now, there's a but. There's always a but. You know, when things are too perfect, when things are so perfect, my little truth meter starts tick-tocking, right? And I start looking, okay, wait a second. Boy, this is so perfect. This is so perfect. So, wow. And anything like that, kind of, I got to research this. There's something going on here. There's nothing that is this perfect. And why I say that is because, okay, so you said, and it's true, all these politicians are manipulated and puppets. People have said Donald Trump is a puppet, too. I believe that there's something bigger going on. It's not a human puppet. I believe that there's something going on with all of us here. It's not a human puppet. There's a puppeteer that is very dark and evil, and then there's another puppeteer, we could say, that is the light. I'm going to call it a puppeteer. There's something controlling everyone here. I'm looking at Israel, okay? Now, knowing what I do and the research that I've done, I have seen certain things being said were going to happen, and they did. So what I'm talking about is two steps ahead of the deep state. How does that happen? It happens by intelligence, through intelligence agencies, deep intelligence agencies, okay, that are working for the positive, you could say. But there's always a plan. Even if you're working to take down the dirty, evil, deep state, swampy people, there's a plan behind that to put something else in place. What is that going to be? Because you have the military... tribunals, you have the martial law, you have the generals in the White House, you have Donald Trump, who wants to be king, will never take no for an answer. He loves the fact that he's, to me, he's a corporate man, and guess what? The United States is his corporation, period. That's how I look at it. Now, he's not doing much for the environment. This deeply concerns me. If he started saying, I'm going to eliminate GMOs, I'm going to take out pesticides, I'm going to stop this
vaccine madness
of children. But I got also point...
speak about that, by the way.
I got to also point out something, too, folks, because, when I listen to both sides of the fence right there, you know, Donald Trump isn't no savior. It's actually, you know, if you're going to get anything resolved in this world like what we're talking about, you're still going to have access to information to be able to discern what's the truth or what's the lie. And so while he's doing a lot of good things on the other side of the fence, I'm just like Barbara. I'm standing there with a skeptical eye, and I'm watching the whole dealings, because if you burn down your house just because you plan to buy a new one, all right, well, you ain't got no place to live. That's common sense. You see what I'm trying to say here?
You know, the thing is, no one human being is going to save us. You know, this is where we have to come to the truth of everything, the truth and critical thinking and, you know, common sense, reality, whatever you want to call it. There's not going to be any human savior. There's only one, and that comes from our relationship. That comes from ourselves together in unity as a people, and also our spiritual connectedness. That's what I truly believe in. I believe that humans are human. All humans, even good people, have a struggle against doing harm. We are all subject to this process of temptation, where we could do something bad or harmful, even speak harmful, even speaking harmful, judging people is not of the light. I'm sorry, it's not. So I'm saying that what's going on in our country and in the world is pretty monumental. I see the good things that Donald Trump is doing. I also don't trust the final, whatever he's going to put us in. He is not a globalist. He is not going to follow their lead, the deep state. He's taking down the deep state. I see that.
You remember Jericho?
I feel there's something fishy in this whole thing.
Yeah, me too, Barbara.
Do you remember Jericho?
I want to go back to Israel, because everything that I have seen involving his policies in relation to the Middle East and so on, I see what he did with Kim Jong-un. I see what he did. And if people don't see it, I'm sorry, they're just fools, because the mainstream media will tell you differently. I've seen various other people in his administration working with him, dealing with Kim Jong-un. I have a sense that, you know, that this thing is true, it's right, it all fits into place. I've seen documents and I've seen various things that show that it is. Now, I saw that, and I see he's involved with Russia, with Putin. Now, it's sort of like, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Because the deep state wants war, period, and Russia is the one, basically, that they want to bring into this mess with the United States and have World War III. Think of that. That was a plan, and there are proofs about that, and that will come out as well in some of these FISA documents. Now, it was noted that after all of these other things are sort of like looked at, taken care of, and lined up, that Israel is last. What does that mean? Okay, it was said that Israel also has a deep state, and I truly believe that. I think every country has a deep state, and they're all one and the same. What do you think?
Well,
no.
Do you remember Jericho?
Yes.
Well, Jericho said that North Korea bombed several major U.S. cities, but the actual truth has been, I'll just go ahead and blow the story for whoever wants to watch the series, but it turned out that the same people who perpetrated the fraud to begin with are the ones who came rushing in as the saviors, rewriting the school books, which is a warning sign about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The business of war is profitable. In 2011, the 100 largest contractors sold $410 billion in arms and military services. These companies had benefited tremendously from the growth of military spending in the U.S., which by far has the largest military budget in the world. Now, what was mentioned a little bit earlier about war, why they want to get us into war. War is profitable for many reasons. First, if you take out your competition, now you're the only remaining superpower, then you're the king. Flat out, the winner.
To me, what I have found out, this is from my own personal instinct and also some research is that war is actually a blood sacrifice.
Yeah, well, it's also profitable because these folks make money in food, they make money in medical supplies.
Well, above all, it's profitable, but you have lives, you have people using the lives of other human beings for their own agenda, yeah, for their profit. To me, that's a sacrifice of human life. It's not a nice thing. It's very evil. So I want to just ask you again, what do you think about Israel? I mean, have you read the elders, the Zionist protocols?
Yeah.
We should keep revisiting that because, frankly, everything on those protocol lists is falling right into place like perfect puzzle. And so we have a system there in Israel, okay, that is very disturbing to me what they're doing, you know, to their own people, because Palestinians are pretty much their own people. And we have a genocide happening there, and we have basically they're bombing whatever they want to do to Syria, and recently they took down a Russian plane, used it as a camouflage for their own you know, planes or jets or whatever they are that throw bombs around, and they took that down and killed those Russians. You know?
Are there any connections with Israel for United Technology?
Oh, there's. Listen, Israel and the United States are in bed together.
No, I'm saying United Technologies, aircraft, electronics, engine, arms sales, $11.6 billion, total sales of $58.2 trillion. Are they also, you know, do they have investments in L3 Communications, then I can't even pronounce it, another aircraft artillery, or EADS is number 7 on the list, aircraft, electronics, missiles, and such. The Northrop Grumman Group, the Raytheon electronics missile arms sales, General Dynamics, BAE Systems, and Boeing, Lockheed Martin being top of the list. Does any of these ring a bell with you know, people in positions of power from not just Israel but other nations out there, that these are major corporations who, just in military arms alone, make money?
You know what? Why do we give so much money? Why do we fund Israel, the United States? We're talking millions and billions of dollars, okay? You have 10 million every day, and annually you have billions of dollars, 38 billion in military aid alone in this year.
Yeah.
3.8 billion a year.
Well, that's why they say follow the money and you'll find out what's going on. And that's a big question. That's a question that needs to be answered. You know? But the whole fact of the matter is that, you know, that whole war being profitable thing, there's a lot of money to be made. And so if you follow back to the major families of the world and their roots and their connections, Israel plays a big part in that whole deal. But the whole thing is...
Well, so here's my question about Trump. Okay, why... If Trump is... that's why the note, very strong note, was that Israel will be last. So I have to keep that in mind. Okay, but I have to ask about... And we were talking about some bigger picture here. Something other at work is the prophecy being fulfilled there in the Middle East about the Antichrist and about the return of the Messiah.
Well, the way it's all playing out, it looks like that's exactly what's going on.
It does. It does, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and the mechanism for that, of course, would be chaos in society, which we talked about earlier, which could be done very easily by collapsing the dollar worldwide. You would create an absolute state of chaos, and that would allow them to bring in the new world order, a new banking system. And, of course, people will gobble it up.
Now, if he's not going to play the game, which he said, okay, he said he's not going to...
He doesn't control the money.
You don't think so, huh?
I don't think he's in a position of that magnitude by myself.
I don't think you know him very well. As I said before... His demeanor, his MO is he wants to be king. He will never take no for an answer. He is a winner across the board, no matter what.
So maybe
he has a chapter in his book. What?
We could see a potential candidate for the Antichrist.
Exactly, but I'm not saying that.
Neither am I.
I'm not going to say that. What I'm looking at this curious scenario right now involving Israel and President Trump, who basically put the embassy, the United States Embassy there in Jerusalem, which created, a craziness over there, but also falls into place with prophecy about building the third temple, which is the plan of the temple to basically, once you build the temple, that brings on the Antichrist, which then brings on the Messiah.
Exactly.
That's
right now.
Yeah.
Exactly like it says.
So what does it mean? What does it mean? I have no clue. What does it mean? I have some vague idea. What does it mean Israel is last after all these systems are being basically removed, the deep state's being removed from South Korea or North Korea, the deep state's being, thrown out, removed from this country, the deep state's being removed, and all of their assets are frozen, by the way. That was another presidential, policy he put out, signed all these people who are traitorous and doing things against this country and working against this country. All of their assets are being frozen. I mean, that is pretty huge. So all these people are scrambling around. That's why you see Clinton's riding on a American Airlines plane instead of their private jet. Because they don't have any money.
I saw that executive order on that. I applauded that.
Their assets have been frozen. Well, guess what? It's across the board. All these people who are involved in the deep state, traitorous against this country, and those documents will come out. I'm not just talking through my hat. I'm a conspiracy realist.
That's a big, big question, but I think we're going to see all this unfold very, very quickly here in the very, very near future.
Well, here's my thing. I believe in a great spirit, Wong Kar Fung. I believe in a creator. You can call whatever you want, that omniscience, that creator of this miracle that we live on in ourselves as miracles. You can call that being, that essence, whatever you want. To me, I feel that, we're down here doing all of our stuff. there's something far greater going on, a bigger picture, a hidden picture, I suppose you could say. Collectively, we are all connected. You may think not. You think that we're separate, or you're separate, or you have nothing to do with me or those people across the world that are being bombed, and nothing to do with the forest that's being taken down on the other side of the world, nothing to do with the dolphins and turtles and all kinds of things washing up dead in Florida and whatever. No, it doesn't bother me. It's not in my backyard. But in fact, we are all connected. We are all in this together. We are all part of this extraordinary circumstance here that is unfolding before our eyes. And so when you say, well, it doesn't matter to me what happens down there in the Middle East or whatever, but it does, because it involves us in a greater plan, a bigger plan. So with an omniscience, creator, an intelligence in all creation, I'm just waiting to see what this final outcome will be, because I feel there's something far greater going on here. Now, if you look at God created all, plus created Lucifer, my question is God that dumb, or dumb, that he didn't know, she didn't know, what was going to unfold? I mean, if you believe in an omniscience creator, an intelligence,
I'm just saying,
that's why I say there's something far greater going on here, but I do believe we are participants in this, like we have a choice, we have free will. Let's say that we're collectively connected, yet we're individual as well. What we believe in, what we focus on, what comes out of our mouth creates our reality. That's our personal reality, but it also affects the whole, correct?
Maybe, you know, the question on Lucifer, that's a huge, huge question. And according to biblical prophecy, Lucifer was an angel and he defied God in heaven. And he was cast out and henceforth we ended up with the devil. Maybe it was God's plan all along to give man a free choice to create
an
image.
I'm kind of leaning towards that way. I don't know.
I think about that, Barbara. The word, you know, you talk about an omniscient being that knows all and sees all, and maybe he wanted to create a perfect creation on this planet, give them a perfect planet to live on, but also give them free choice.
Well, part of perfection is that, I would say, right?
Exactly.
It's free will as a human being.
But, you know, Revelations talks about the devil at this point in history right now, and what Revelations says is just so much, is so accurate to me in my life.
Well, and also the Hopi prophecy and the other indigenous prophecies and prophecies.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's all across the board. But here's the thing. If you believe in a God, and a lot of people do believe in a God, and they say that God is omniscient and God knows all things and God created all this creation, it's his creation, her creation, I use his, her. So then that tells me that this creator knew what was coming and also gave the people here, the human beings, every aspect of humanness that was necessary for them, which includes free will.
Right.
And so that means, let's see how they do down there.
Well, then, you know, I mean, that's a deep question, isn't it,
right,
Barbara?
Let's see what they're going to create, because I'm giving them this beautiful place to make their home and work together. We all got the original instructions, and they all got thrown out the window by certain people who decided, I'm going to listen to this other dude over here who tells me I can get anything I want, any idea, any thought, anything that I want, that I desire, I will be given if I play the game, which is the Luciferian game. Okay, so I'm gonna do that. I want that. Okay, I'm gonna throw all this, you know, these commandments out the window because I want stuff right now. I believe I'm more powerful. You know, I've been told by the other authorities and scientists that I'm gonna be God, or I can be God, or we are God. There is no God. Whatever.
Just listen to Joe Osteen talk, man. Go ahead.
So our participation, everyone's participation is crucial to what we do manifest and create. We are not helpless, and we have powers beyond our imagining that the Creator did give us. And that's about the fact that we are, all of life is created as a frequency, as energy. We are beings of energy. Our thoughts have an energy, a frequency. Our words have a frequency and energy, either positively or negatively. Every action that we do, that we take in our tradition, in the Lakota tradition and many indigenous traditions, the idea, the thought and the knowledge and the wisdom of the ancient people was that what we do today affects the next coming generations. That has been gone out the window, right? Just out the window. It's about me right now. It's selfishness. Morals are down the tubes. You know, it's now do whatever you want to get what you want now, regardless of the harm that it may do to someone else. So this is how we're participating, and I think that as individually and collectively, we are manifesting, creating something here. Are we creating the prophecy through what people tell us? That's a question. That's a possibility. I'm just saying. What do you think?
Well,
that's another deep question.
Well, don't you? Come on, just use something. What do you feel? Listen, we're looking at stuff here. I'm trying to broaden our perspective because that's what I do. I look at this piece, this information that we had, that there is prophecy, and I'm also looking at written prophecy through Bible and various other things. So when we know this prophecy and we focus on this prophecy and we believe in this prophecy written by man, are we in fact manifesting this prophecy? Because when people say, those people over there are bad, we need to go over there and kill those people and bring peace over there, people believe it. So that information basically is fulfilled, okay, by the basically the mobs of people, you know, the rule of mob rule. So I'm just wondering, because
if biblical prophecy only focused on political issues and that kind of a realm of what we see going on in the world right now, I would say that, you know, that kind of a scenario could be created by individuals that they read the prophecies and they wanted to manifest that to make people believe that prophecies were being fulfilled. But when I look at other prophecies about this particular time that really, really are 100% accurate right now on how it manifests itself into this particular time, and they all talk about one particular time in human history, and we're in that particular time right now, I believe that fully. But we have to look at geological events, we have to look at weather patterns, we have to look at all the other things that are happening on our planet, the dial-up of species in our ocean that are all talked about in great detail in Revelations, and how these events will all occur in a very, very short period of time. So those kind of events, yeah, filling the ocean, yeah, we're directly responsible for that. Okay, but geological events, we are not sure we can affect geological events.
You have a power beyond imagining. Okay. I mean, I know you know that, but what I'm saying is, so let's look at a grand manipulation by someone who had an idea to destroy something so sacred. Who would that be? What would that be? That would be the fallen one. Okay, who hates you know who. And who wants to destroy what is sacred, and that includes us, and the waters, and our life. I'm just saying, the grand manipulation here, a plan to infiltrate into the minds of people incrementally over millennia, dark thoughts, evil, corruption, disruption, harm, violations, abuses, all for a promise.
Yeah, you have to come back to the conclusion that that's being manipulated by one individual, and that, of course, again, is Lucifer or the devil.
Well, that's you can call it whatever you want. I say it's an entity of evil because it is something that has to hate something so beautiful. It has to be something that wants to destroy something so, I call sacred, life, creation. Because this is what these people, these human people, are doing. They have no soul. They have no morals. They have no conscience. Because they can destroy babies, humans, families, life, creation.
And not blink an eye.
With all
not
that,
blink an eye.
With all that said, the fact that people out there believe or disbelieve in a creator, whichever version you believe in, doesn't matter, because there are the elitists who actually believe in their particular versions.
They absolutely do. Mm-hmm. And this is a key piece, what you just said. They believe in their God.
Yeah.
They say Lucifer is the one God.
Yeah.
But they are Luciferians.
And they claim
they believe
that they will become gods through transhumanism or whatever.
Well, they were told that. They were told they can have anything, they can do anything, and they will not be punished. Nothing will happen to them. But I'm saying that we are participants in this by the choices that we make. By our free will, through our free will. So we can either create and manifest something opposite of the evil in the dark, or we can participate in that. And energetically, frequency-wise, we are creating and manifesting that experience. You know the saying, what goes around comes around, or you create your own reality?
Well, I believe that's probably part of the issue, but we're getting close to the end of the show. But before I peel up out of here, I want to leave some people with just a thought. Just so, if you ever decide you want to go down the rabbit hole, you can actually check into it. But there's a conspiracy theory out there that talks about during the great stock market crash, at least here in the United States, way back in, I believe it was the 1930s or something like that, that your birth certificate is traded on the stock exchange. You are a human resource for corporations and country. As crazy as that may sound, years ago, and I figured out, I can't remember how I actually did it, but there was a way that you could take a number that was on either the back of your birth certificate or your Social Security card at that particular time, and you could run that number through the stock exchange. And as crazy as it sounds, But in fact, when I looked it up, Raytheon was the company that supposedly had that particular stock, whatever that number was, too. And so, you know, I guess it puts another question on the table, whether or not these people even look at us as human to begin with. You know, what the heck is going on? Y'all beating your computer up? What are you doing there? Anyway, if it's true that we're being trained,
Barry's doing research.
Yeah, he must be researching it in. But he's got all the computer keys.
You need to mute when you pound that.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Anyway, what I was trying to get at is, if it's true, then that means a military group Raytheon basically owns me as a cattle or whatever, according to that conspiracy theory. Now, I just looked into it for the interest of the whole deal, but the whole entire thing of everything, the truth is a lie, and burn the books, and who's in control of the history, and who's in control of the knowledge and the information, and who gets to say what you get to see or what you don't get to see, who gets to write the whole story, who gets to delete your book if you don't like what you said. But if you take all this stuff and you step back and you look at the big picture, even the prophetic version of what, like, Revelation's talked about, I'm seeing it. I'm watching it. That is what the book said. Well, I'm also watching what Paul Harvey said in 1965. You know, or was it 1964? One of the two. But either way, that's the year I was born. And suddenly I hear a conspiracy that says Raytheon, when I finally track the numbers down and I run it across the stock exchange, and it says Raytheon owns me, you know, at least my birth certificate or whatever. But if you go back and look at the twisted history of that whole entire thing, when the Social Security card very first came out, it said it was basically for a retirement, for you put it, pay in, and the government gets to use that tax money, and then whenever you get old and can't work anymore, you have this to fall back on. It was never meant to be a Social Security number as an identification. However, modern-day law enforcement and other medicals and all that is all tied to that number now, all right? So you talk about the number of the beast, or even during the Holocaust when they were tattooed with the whatever number they had on there, you know, and that kind of stuff. And you put all these things together and you step back and look at it, there's a disturbing trend going on here. Not only are they spying on you through the internet, and I understood the part where they put cookies on your computer to, basically be able to market to you. Whatever you like, Google will put it out there in front of you. Google's amazing. Its AI system, before you get through typing, has already put in suggested websites, corrected spelling, and all that kind of stuff there. And 90% of people don't even read the user agreements to any software or program that they use. And so they basically say, yeah, it's all right if you follow me around the internet. I ain't got nothing to hide. Well, nonetheless, take all this stuff and factor it into your decision of what you've heard here today about truth is a lie and burning the books and all that kind of stuff. And think about the ultimate question of all. Who in this world, besides yourself, do you trust the most that you would allow that kind of power over you to decide what you can read and what you can't read, what you can see or what you can't see, where you can go or where you can't go, what you can believe or what you cannot believe? Now, see, I kind of lean towards my Christian faith as far as my beliefs in, you know, a higher power, but I don't discourage anyone else from their personal beliefs, because we're all on our own personal spiritual journey here. I can't walk in your footsteps. I can't walk in your shoes. I'm not you. You're the only one who will ever be you. There's only one you in this entire world. And there's nobody can do or say things like you. You are an individual, and you are special. As far as I'm concerned, you're a divine creature of our Creator. And so, with that said, I have no authority over you. I have no authority over your life. I don't even have any authority over what you say or what you don't say, nor would I want that authority over you. I want you to be you. And if you're a terrible person, I, being me, I'm not going to hang around you, period. And if I don't like the book you wrote, I'm not going to read it. And if I don't like the video you put out, I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to subscribe to information that is offensive to anyone out there, even people that I disagree with. But I'm not going to burn that book. I'm not going to steal your chance at having two sides of the story so that you can make a conscious decision and focus your life to your own destiny to decide where you want to go. Whether you want to be on the dark side or the light side, it's not up for me to say it because it's your life. But if I'm the one who has the power, if I got that chip in my brain and it can be hacked, it may not even be me that is making choices for you. It may not even be my choice to do it. But if it is my choice, and you know me and you've heard me all these years of talking on the Knights of the Round Table, you pretty much by now know what I stand for. Would you trust me personally to control the information that is coming to your ears and through your mind and to be able to tell your children that kind of stuff? Would you trust me with that kind of power over you? And if you wouldn't trust me, why should you trust these people out there who are constantly saying that they're for your better interest, when in the United States, we've never been a democracy, but yet our leaders say all the time, we got to protect our democracy. If you don't even know that the United States was developed as a representative republic, and that's what was said to the man, what have you given us? Well, we've given you a republic if you can keep it, which is true, because even during the founding of the United States, there were conflicts such as what we're talking about right now that were going on for control of the people. Did you hear that
word? She says, I got to step out of here, buddy, unfortunately.
Yeah, go ahead. You got any last words of wisdom before you peel up out of here?
Well, as always, I love tuning in, and I love listening to you guys talk. I love talking with Barbara. I love her heart and her insight, and you too, sir. I love talking with you, and we're here just trying to get people to really start looking inside their hearts and really trying to what is really most important in your life right now. That's a big question that we all got to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
I'll be back next week. So,
well, brother, it's always a pleasure.
Next week. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Barry. Good to talk with you, dear.
Love you, Barbara. Love your insight. Love your thoughts. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
So, Barbara, bye. I guess it's just you and I now. I'm pretty sure you're not through talking, and I'm not through talking. I really...
I don't know. I do have to go. I'm just thinking of, we went through a huge amount of information, and I can't believe we're done already. Finished time-wise.
It's been 3 hours.
I can't believe that. Sometimes you get into it and so passionately, and all these things are flowing so rapidly, and trying to get clear on things and help, add to the subject or... just give, out, like you said, it's not about believing, it's about using your own critical thinking and just listening and being open to listening to others without judgment. Judgments really stop the process of finding truth, in my estimation, and I think that's what we're all about,
Yeah.
I think, I do want to say, even though what we've all talked about, martial law and evil and the deep state and all this mess, I feel very positive, and I think we're living in an extraordinary time, a key moment in human history on all levels, And I do feel very strongly about the majority, of us people, of us human nature, human people here in our nature, is really good. We all want peace. I don't care who you are or what your nationality or your religion is. I think we all want health and well-being for our children, our families, and we want to leave something very special and beautiful for our children's children. And I think that people are awakening. I think that people are also spinning and confused because they're being tested now, and I think that we are not only in a test of our common sense abilities, but also a test of our spiritual self, a spiritual test. I believe that we have reached that crucial time, the moment in time for that. I have great faith in some shift, and I believe we are all participating, and I just hope and pray. I pray for the leaders of our countries, all the leaders, everyone. I don't care if people hate them, don't like them, it doesn't matter to me. I just pray, because these people are in positions, they've gotten themselves into a position to make determinations and decisions for our lives and for the lives of our children.
Yep.
And that's crucial. So if I pray for them, basically, that they come into alignment with goodness and compassion and come to recognize, in fact, that we all are stewards and we're meant to be stewards of this earth.
I believe that.
And without that, they can lead us anywhere that they choose to, because they are being manipulated, many of them, not all, but many of them are being manipulated to use this earth, the resources of this earth, as a dumping ground or for their own gain, for their resources and to put in their pockets. So that's why I pray for these people, because I feel like I could vote, but I don't think it makes much difference. If I don't like a person, I could vote them, you know, against them or for them. I don't frankly think it makes a difference. That's why I turn to prayer. Prayer for something more powerful, something more greater that I believe in. And my prayer has a power. I believe in that. And so that's what I do. And I have faith that no matter what, everything ultimately will be all right. I do have that belief and that faith. And what we create now, what we choose to participate in now, how we participate, how we use our free will, is actually manifesting our experience here collectively and individually, and I think that is an extraordinary, awesome bit of information to tell us that we do have a power. We are not powerless.
Yep.
And that's why I have, to me, I feel this excitement, I feel this energy coming in to have that sense of this. I feel this upliftment. I do, because to me, then that spirit speaking, and there's a truth being spoken here about us as humans, that we are so significant, every one of us. Every one of us is crucial and vital.
I agree.
So I just want to thank everyone here on peopleforpeople.ning.com and Wolf Spirit Radio if they've tuned in. And the Knights of the Round Table, we're hot today. We're really on it. I love being on here with you, and it's great when Barry comes in. And here we are. So I just want to thank everyone.
I love everything you said. And with that said, before you take off, let me ask you one last question before you bail up out of here and go on with life's journey. With that said, if we're all on a spiritual journey and we're all being tested, you know, spiritually, you know, we know we're being tested mentally and physically and emotionally, but if we're being tested spiritually, wouldn't you think that it would be fair that we still have access to both the sides of the information, whether it be from the light or the dark, that in order for us to actually make an honest choice of where we want to go, wouldn't you think that the truth, you know, however it be told from both sides of the fence, be allowed to us in order for this to make a fair, test, so to speak?
Well, I think if we were conscious, using our conscious awareness, that it should be that this is what we call, why we say we have free will.
Yep.
Free will to determine a course, free will to determine or choose to do something, say something, act in a particular way, respond or whatever. We were given that gift of free will. Every human being has that. That's what we choose. I choose to believe this person, or I choose to hang that person before they're proven guilty.
Yeah.
I choose to be a good person. I choose to be compassionate. Oh, I choose to help that person over there. I'm going to choose to smile at that person in the grocery store who looks like they're really down today. I'm going to choose. That's free will.
Yep.
And every time we choose, use our free will, we are affecting something or someone or the whole. That's how powerful we are. So when we see something wrong, we can choose to laugh at it, we could choose to agree with the person who's doing wrong, or we can choose to not agree and do something about it. We can choose to participate in any way we want. But so, it does create something. There's a repercussion for every thought, every word, every motion, every action.
So I think that our job here to some extent, as far as my personal beliefs, is that we are here to literally use our words to wake other people up to the reality that they do have a choice and they do have that power. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm not here to wake people up. I'm just here to do what I've been asked to do by Creator, what I finally figured out. I'm not here to wake anybody up. Well, that's up to them.
Maybe my terminology isn't what it needs to be, but I just want people to have hope. I just want people to not.
So here's the thing. I could say to agree with you. I could say yes. I want people to have hope. I cannot affect what people determine. I can only give them information. I can only give by my own personality, my own actions, my own words, and so on.
Well, see, your words explained it better than I am. That's, you know, essentially where I'm at. I'm not here to try to, you know, tell somebody this is how you need to believe in order. I'm trying to live.
Well, I can't say to people you need to have hope. Yeah. Well, I could say that, but that's ultimately up to them. I could say it all day. You need to have hope. You need to have faith. You need to do blah blah. I could say that till I'm blue in the face. Okay, but what I'm doing, what we're doing, is we're talking about things that could either give a person hope or not, according to what they want to choose. That's why we say you can take what I say. Take what I've offered today. Be open to it, at least be open to it. Don't shut me down. Don't delete me. Don't close your heart and your ears.
There you go.
Listen, because this is what we need to do. Listen first, and then if something I say or offers touches your heart spirit, that's all that it is. Yeah. Or if you say, okay, I've listened to everything and I don't agree, that's fine. That's your free will. That's your right. But you'll never get to that point unless you listen.
Well, you
unless
it.
You're willing.
You explained it better than I ever could, because I may want for people to have hope. That may be what I want, but it's up to them to actually choose for themselves what they want, because ultimately it's their life, not mine. And all I can do is the best I can from my point of view, is like you explained. You know, and hopefully those that take something good away will benefit. That's the whole
purpose. Well, look, we can't get angry at each other. First of all, here's the thing. If you feel strongly in your heart, in your whole self, about something, and you want the whole world to know this and get this information and also feel strongly and believe this piece and know this piece too, you know, you can put that information out, and if people turn away from you or shut down or say you're wrong or I don't believe you, you can't get angry. You cannot get frustrated. Okay, that doesn't come into play here, because that's that person's free will. It's their spiritual journey. It's their life's journey. They are on that course just like we are. We find bits of information, little gems on the trail, right?
Yep.
We find these things. We could pick up a gem and we could look at it and we could feel happy, joyous about it, or we say, okay, I'm not interested, and put it back down. That's life. But as a person who I guess what we're doing here is we're giving two sides, two possibilities. We're sharing two possibilities here for people to determine with their own free will what they feel about it.
Yep.
Okay, we talk about the dark stuff, we talk about the things that are really seriously, what we believe are serious issues, and we talk about the solutions, we talk about the positives. So we are giving two processes here for people to take and to absorb, to contemplate, to reflect upon, and determine through their own free will how they feel about it, what they want to do about it. To get angry at people because they're not awakening, or they're not listening, or they're not getting it, I mean, that's just foolhardy to me. Because
I agree.
you have to consider we are all on our spiritual walk in life, and we're all collectively doing this, but everyone is an individual and has free will.
Yep.
So we just put out the information, and I'm happy to see people here, and I'm happy, you know, I feel like, you know, I used to go through a whole bunch of personal blah blah issues about, well, what am I doing? Nobody's listening. I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. You know, we all go through that, right?
Yep.
And then I realized I had to come to the determination. I had to hone down my expectations of my brothers and sisters. I had to realize that they were also in Great Spirit's hands, and they had made their determinations and agreements to come here to this Mother Earth and learn something in this big school. They were given free will by Great Spirit to determine which course they want to take, what they want to do, how they want to participate. So I had to hone down my expectations of my brothers and sisters, and I had to realize that I was given a job to do as best I could to fulfill my agreement. If I touch one person only in all of my 74 years here, that would be a beautiful thing, and I'd be grateful for that.
Yep.
So that's honing down my expectations of me giving out information that in my heart I feel would be significant and helpful, and nobody listening. All right, so I had to deal with that expectation, you know, because I had to hone down, you know what, it's not up to me, it's up to Creator and that person. It's up to that person and their agreement with Creator, Great Spirit.
Well, for some reason in my spirit, I'm looking for a balance and justice. If there has to be a fight, which I don't like the fight, if there has to be a fight, it has to be a fair fight. If it has to be the truth, it has to be the real truth. You know, honestly.
But who's fair? But you see, yeah. Here you go again. I'm like, by whose perception?
Yeah.
Is it fair? Whose perception is it? See, this is where we are. This is why we have to just do our job and not have these expectations only for ourselves to do a good job. Not expectations of others to wake up, to get it, to change, to be whatever. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I get it. But that's why I'm so glad that you're here, because it's kind of like when we're down this rabbit hole and we're talking about different things, you help to balance me out and see things in a different perspective that I otherwise might have missed. And so,
you know,
I feel blessed to have you around.
Yeah. The only thing that I think is important in the big picture is, can I review and assess my behavior?
Yeah.
I can. That I'm the only one that can do that. You could tell me anything about me. It's me. I have to review and reflect and assess my own behavior, my own words, my own actions. That's what we must do. Now, I'm sure there are many people who don't do that. For me personally, I'm just saying, I must always question myself and my behavior, my actions, my words, my thoughts, and whatever, because that's between me and my Creator.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we got to get up out of here, but before we get up out of here, Anon 8347 over there in the Shaziz chat room put a comment in there, says, I just want to know the truth, man. Why are we here? You know, like, I just don't know if God is real or not, even which God is real. I've heard it all, looked through so many things, and still I don't know. I've just lost hope in the whole subject. And the only words of wisdom that I can even possibly touch on that deal right there is, my friend, look, I can't even tell you whether God is real or whether God isn't real, but I know what I feel in my heart, that there is definitely, without a doubt, a Creator, what that Creator's name is or the makeup or whatever. You know, I couldn't tell you. The only thing I can say is to follow your heart and your mind and use discernment and your free will to find the truth. And then that's really hard in the world we live in, because what we've explained here today, you know, I started off with truth is a lie and burn the books. You know, it depends on who's telling the truth, whether it is the truth. Truth is subject to the honesty of the teller. But you,
I'd like to respond to this person because this is a whole show. And my heart goes out to that person because I have been there. And I think we all go through that period of time in our life. At some point in our life, we're going to say, you know, I don't get the who am I? What am I here for? I don't trust anything. I don't believe in anything. I feel I'm lost. I'm alone, and whatever. We all go through that. So I so totally identify with that. And I can only say that don't listen to your mind. I'm going to disagree with you, she says, on that. Don't listen to your mind. Go to your heart. Go to your heart, you know, and start talking to something. Go out, talk to a tree. I don't care what you talk to. Go out into nature, because really nature is the place where we do get renewal and we do feel something which is part of our fundamental nature. We are part nature. We are, you know, we are one with nature. If you find yourself, you know, in that confused place, you know, which is obviously very prevalent today, and it's nothing new in human experience, because I've been there. It took me a long time, many years, to find a place of peace in my heart, and that's my journey. That's a spiritual journey. You will, if you don't say you believe in spirit or anything, then that's just your life's journey. You don't have to say spiritual, but it's our life's journey. It's a journey of finding the truth for our own personal self.
Yep.
I can't give you a reassurance that there is a great spirit, a creator. Nobody can do that. Nobody could do that for me. I mean, I went to Catholic school, and in my own sense and instincts told me something was not quite right there. So I had to find my own truth, my own inner peace. Every human needs to do that. That is their journey. It's your personal experience and everything. But I will say one thing for me that does touch me and give me some silence and inner peace and a big sigh of relief is going out into nature. If you don't have that experience, you might want to start making that part of your experience. I'm not saying there's going to be an epiphany, but I must say I've had epiphanies and I've had miracles of a changing of my emotional state. My fear, my doubt, my even suicidal thoughts. When I go out into nature, I have been relieved from that. I've been given something. Over and over again, this has happened. And I'm not the only one that can claim this, by the way. I just say that the most important thing is, you know, is that, I'd say, is go out into nature and don't listen to the monkey mind, because the monkey mind will mess you up. The monkey mind says all kinds of negative things, even about yourself. And we are inundated with these programs and information that we were given that is false information about ourselves. You know, I think it's about what do you feel about yourself, you as an individual. Don't say, well, what am I here for? Okay, or what's my purpose? That will unfold, that will come. For me, I feel that our purpose here is to learn how to love ourselves.
Yep.
I feel our purpose here is that is the ultimate thing first, is to learn how to care for ourselves, love ourselves, cherish ourselves. That, to me, would be the first step on a big journey. And it's not easy because we've been told we're worthless, we've been told we're powerless, we've been told we are evil, and whatever it is, it's been negative. When you hear in your head a story that tells you that you are evil, dark, negative, worthless, useless, helpless, blah, 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 as you notice, I am saying all the negatives. If you hear these things, I just want to say that is not who you really truly are, and that does not come from something that we could call Creator, Great Spirit, or the light, or goodness, or harmony and balance. That comes from some input, imprint, that is not true about who you really are.
Well, I agree. Well, we got to go, folks, but the last thing I'll say to that the whole entire deal is, those that are in charge out there, those that are running the system that we find ourselves in, they don't want you to know who you are. They don't want you to know what you are, where you came from, or what you're capable of. They don't want you to be an individual. They want you to be part of the so-called hive mind mentality. You know, we want you to be you, We want you to walk your journey, your own personal journey, with all the truth and love in your heart that you can muster, even in the face of adversity. We want to be there in case you need somebody to talk to or a bit of information. That's what this whole deal is all about. You know, we're reaching out to you. That's all we're doing. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If anything in this thing inspires you, and you think it's a good message to pass on to some other people, we'd appreciate that you do that. That's how this thing works. We're not asking you for anything else other than to share whatever that has blessed you in this situation with somebody else for free. That's it. We're not asking for money, donations, or anything like that. All we're asking you is to help us throw another positive pebble in the pond to make our world a better place. It's as simple as that. So, you got anything last? We really got to go.
I just want to thank everyone, that's all. And fill in my Adobe shop. See you next time.
Yep. Peace and love to everybody. Take care. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round.
Man that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had loved a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more stable. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're all so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.